tall.
Yeah, I know. It's like all of that, you know, it's a little misleading. It's usually the opposite. If you come in with one book, you know, it's going to be serious. Otherwise, it's like, a little this, a little that, you know. More fluffy, I guess. Anything else? Yeah. Okay, so we have some things to get through today. But we won't go forever, because I have to go on. I'm sure you do as well. So Chanukah Sameach, firstly. We're going to have our formal Chanukah celebration, I guess, on Tuesday at 12. Okay? And, you know, maybe we'll speak a little more about, you know, during the time, Chanukah, and, you know, if we can complete some other issues as well. For today, I really want to get through, I want to finish up our discussion of Kesef, Isuri Hanah. We've been discussing, Isuri Hanah, and Madai, and Matbeya, and the Shir Pruta, and also Shtar Ademeh. So I want to go through quickly the Gemara on Heyom and Aleph, which will also link us up to Heyom and Beis. And whatever we don't get through now, as I say, I'll probably take one Shir before we... we'll start really on Heyom and Beis when we come back, but I'll probably do one just, you know, fill in just to, you know, discuss some B'nai Banim, if we don't get to it today, and a little bit more about the relationship between father and daughter, as it comes up, at least in these sugyas, on Gimel Amud Beis, Dalet Amud Beis, and a little bit again on Hey Amud Aleph. But we'll see what we can do. Okay, so for today, let's first start with the discussion of Isuri Hanah D'Rabbanan D'Oraisa and Madai, which we began on Thursday, and try to finish with that. So we... just to remind, you know, we noted that really there are some overlapping issues that can confuse things, but that also may be related, and that is in particular the question of how pragmatic the shir of Pruta is, shir shama Pruta versus Shem Mamon, how that connects to the question of Nesina and Kabbalah. We talked about the fact that this question of Nesina and Kabbalah in particular is a little bit hard to pin down, but again, just to show two opposite poles that we already saw, according to some Mefarshim, Nesina Bal Korcha, if we hold Shema Nesina, still may not be a Kabbalah. That's the Chiddush of the Rajba that the Avnei Miluim discusses. So that's one good way to test. If you accept that view, that's one good way to test it. And that Gita V'yado Ba'in Kiyachad, whether it's in, using a Chatzer as a means to, transfer ownership of the chatzer and other things in it, which is the classic case, things like Yeush and Shini Rishus coming together, if that's really the pshat, those might be cases where you have the opposite, Kabbalah Bli Nesina, and that Isuri Hanah, it's an open question. Whether there's Nesina, whether there's Kabbalah, you might be mechalik between Nesina and Kabbalah in Isuri Hanah too, depending on how you understand it, you know, both of those areas in either direction. And certainly in a more pragmatic way, the Mishnah Lamelech has charted for us, you know, ways to more obviously distinguish between them. If you have a case of him being chole or dafka her being chole, so you can have these cases. So these are all cases to think about in terms of the question of Nesina and Kabbalah, which I believe also does overlap. But in addition to the question of, you know, what Kesef is and so on, it also has a lot to do with our topic that we're going to start with coming back, and that is the question of, you know, Nasanhu, and what Nesina, Nasanhu Amrahi, Nasnahi Amarhu, what Nesina or Kiyikach really requires. Is it, again, Kabbalah or Nesina? But that's one whole area to think about. In the context of discussing all of these cases, in particular for the Rambam, we've suggested that there's this added idea of Kesef Shel Hana. That's a language of Ravel will use. I'm just going to read it to you inside just for a second. And that the Avnei Miluim certainly picks up on this in terms of the Rambam sheet of Mekadosh B'Milva, which we'll talk about when we get to Vav Beis more fully. Matano Menas Lahaksir, which we've seen some things about already, but we'll talk more again on Vav Beis. as well as the Rambam's Shita. I've suggested perhaps that it's connected to his omission of Chalipin, and especially not the Ramban's idea. But this also, as I mentioned the other day, extends possibly to things like Arev and Eved Kanani, which work both in Dine Mamonos and in Ishus, but which again, Mefarshim have noted, the Rambam treats in a singular way in Hilchos Ishus as compared with Dine Mamonos. So that particular comment I mentioned, that's a letter of the Griz. I just wanted to quote it just for a minute. He suggests that there are two ways, right, to formulate that idea, and that this is the last letter, Tammuz Tarzach, on page 163 in the back of the Sefer. Masha kasavta da Rambam l'tamei d'matzuch b'kiddushin kesef shalana l'hochi hosif gam gabe arev eved knani tam d'hana, says Varecha tovin bazeh the gamanochi amarti kein me'az aval b'ma'at shinui l'masha kasavta ata k'nira pashut d'gamadas harambam ha'kiddushin heim be'etzem ha'kesef sh'nasa n'ploni v'lo b'hana b'lvat v'ilav hochi lav tzarchinan l'alfusa me'arif. Basically, what he's saying is the way to say this is not that in Kiddushin, we're going to start from the other way. Then in Choshem Ishbat, the Mechayev is Kesef, and that in Ishus, the Mechayev is Hana. It's rather, and this is how we've been saying it all along, partially influenced by this formulation, but also by the evidence, that what you really need is an element or a dimension of Hana. It's a characterization of the Kesef. It's Kesef Shalom. So it's not that there it works within Kesef, here it works within Hana. It's that there's a din of Kesef Shel Hana. Otherwise, the tziruf, the continuity between Choshem Mishpat and Eben Ezer, which is part of the story, doesn't really work. That's the Avtipus, is Eved Kanani itself. Orev also. The Avtipus is really Arev in Choshem Mishpat, a real classical case of Arev. In these cases, you don't need Kesef Shel Hana. Mashen kin b'kiddushin. Elevadai degam b'kiddushin ha-kinyan nasa o de etzem ha-kesef mamish v'lo ba'ana b'vad. So this is really his formulation. He doesn't mention it, but clearly he's alluding, you know, to these other Rambams, namely Matan Vanasa Haksir, Milva. I would just add, again, that the omission of Chalipin either has to do, as we've said, with one of three things. Either the Rambam Lishitaso and Chalipin, which we spent a lot of time on, or overlapping, reasons. The role of Kinyan as a Maisa Kiddushin, which also is lacking by virtue of his view of Chalipin, or this idea, again, of Kesef Shel Hana, and then part of the story of the Snai B'Pachas Mishav Pruta, especially if you have the Girsa of B'Kanyan Apsha, the Rishonim Alatar assume that the Rambam does have the Girsa of B'Kanyan Apsha. In general, as far as I know, there is no other Girsa in the Gemara other than B'Kanyan Apsha. Being Rabbeinu Tam, out of conviction, was just so convinced that because of his more extreme reading of Rashi, or his assumption that however you read Rashi, implicit logically, is this also more extreme assumption? That's another way of his reading of Rashi, but it doesn't really matter for our purposes. So Rabbeinu Tam was just convinced that you can't have the words Mekanya Nafsha, and that somehow they got in there. But as far as I know, the Rishonim Alatar all have the Girsa of Mekanya Nafsha, including the Rambam. Again, it's interesting to note that the Rush, when he's trying to explain the din of Madai, right, in the name of the Balitosis and the Ri and so on, and that the din of Madai is only a din drabanan, because ain lehekta shalom makomo v'shaito. So it's interesting that he too quotes isha v'pachas misha pruta lo makanya nafsha, or he quotes the language of makanya nafsha. You can't be makadesh with something which is only shava pruta and madai, because that's not makanya nafsha. So he exports, in other words, that girsa and that notion to this sugya of madai. I think because he is, considering maybe the outside possibility that of saying something like what we said in the name of the Peshua, which is that in lehekta shel mekom of shaito, may just be about evaluation or assessment. Right? In other words, two things you could say. Number one, meaning it's how much. So you're, being mishai, or you're doing a shumba on behalf of kadshim in lehekta shel mekom of shaito. So that depends on the local market. But the issue of Shavapruta, especially if it's the Rubicon of Mammon, right, is not the same necessarily as a typical Shuma. Because here we're talking about Din Mammon, as we've been saying, not Shior Shavapruta. Or, again, an overlapping way, what you might say, is that who says that the Hagdara of Kesef, or Mammon, in Hekdesh is the same as in Kiddushin. It might be, and it might be different, and it might be different in either direction. But I think that the Rush, by adding Mekanya Nafsha here, is kind of addressing that. What he's saying is, Lu Yitzuya, you were to make the argument that all we care about in Kiddushin is an objective, Shein Mamon, and therefore the din of Ein Lehekdesh Shel Mekom HaVeshaito is not important. The Shiur Shavapruta, in other words, is secondary. You should know that there's a Mekanya Nafsha aspect of this too, meaning you need Kesef Shel Hana. So if you need Kesef Shel Hana, then, in addition, you're still going to require that. It's interesting just to note also that the Sefer HaChinuch, which we saw early in the year, beginning of the year, right, makes a case for being Mekadesh with a Tabas as something which, kind of exemplifies, the relationship and, it's a constant reminder. Again, in certain practical things, to negate or eradicate a begida and other things, but also out of a sense of affection and kavod, etc. And he too, in that context, mentions the language of, mekanya nafsha. So I think that it's an interesting issue. This idea of mekanya nafsha, and the possibility that it really captures or is even a kind of a makar for this idea, which is what we were saying for Rashi, and so on, for Rambam, and so on, and we're expanding it, works very well with the Netziv. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it or not. The Netziv in the beginning of the Sugya on Heyomid Aleph, which I want to go through quickly today so that we can, just join together the Gemaras, and I want to make a few ha'aras on it. So just let's just get that in for a moment, just the beginning of it. Adam, if you don't mind? Yeah. Did you get a chance to see the Netziv?
The Netziv, no.
Okay, I brought it just in case. Go ahead.
Umayin sha'af b'shtar b'dinhu uma kesef she'ei moti machnes shtar she'moti eno din she'machnes.
Yeah, so the Gemara's weighing, right, where we know shtar from. This is already something that we've discussed a little bit. Right, the discussion on Dav Gimel and the Rishonim, like why not learn it out from Karka? Correct? Okay. So the Gemara wants to discuss it, wants to derive it from a Kavachomer. Yeah.
Malakasef Shekane Podin Bohekdesh Maiser Shani. Tomar Shtar Shane Podin Bohekdesh Maiser Shani Dechsiv. Dechsiv and also a Kasavikamlo.
Yeah.
Amar Krav Yatza Bahisa, Magash Availi Tzia, Mayatia Bishtar, Havaya Bishtar, Nami Bishtar.
Okay, keep going.
Vakash Nami Tzia Havaya, Mahavaya Bekasaraf Yatia Bekasaf, Amar Abaya, Yomru Kasaf, Machnes Kasaf Motzi, Sanegor Yasa Kategor. Ihachi, Star Nami Yomru Star Motzi, Star Machnes, Kategor Yasa Sanegor. So, Mila de High Star Lachod, Mila de High Star Lachod. Hachanami, High Kasper Lachod, High Kasper Lachod. Tiba Mia Chadhu.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's look at this just for a second. Then we'll talk more about this in a few minutes. But basically, this is the Makar of Yatza V'Haisa. And we also discussed previously, you know, why the Rambam sometimes does quote the Makar and sometimes he quotes, you know, the Svara, right? And I was suggesting that that's part of his Divrei Sofrim talk about Shtar, you know, on the emphasis of Testament basis, Havamina, and so on. Okay, good. And again, his treatment in different places in Yad HaChazaka, in Pirshei Mishnayos, and in Sefer HaMit, different places within Yad HaChazaka, and also Pirshei Mishnayos and Sefer HaMit. It's fine. Anyways, this line of Ma'al Kesef She'kein Podibo Hektish or Ma'aser Sheni, so it intrigued the Netziv. Anybody see it? Anybody get a chance? Nobody?
While Adam is reading.
What?
While Adam is reading.
Oh, you saw it while Adam was reading. Okay, good. So what did he say? I mean, it's better to see it before that.
He says that the mice, like the example of the mice are shady.
He's bothered by the what question?
About why you use the example of the hectic mice are shady.
Why not just say, Malakasef Shekein Konimbo in Choshamishpat? Right? So why? What's wrong with saying that as opposed to, right, other things, right? So he says, oh, this is a raya for Rashi that we paskin, that when it comes to Yisrael, that, you know, you're kona b'mashicha, but you're not kona b'mos. Malik hesesh kem pono b'kdesh ma'ishe sheni l'chore b'kan raya l'mash kosev Rashi to be a strong mashicha kona v'lo mos. Midlomar stam, malik hesesh shekeno konim bo. Right? However, he says, I don't like that pshat. First, I don't want to be committed to that Psak, that's a machlokas. So what does he say?
He says that one to find things that are more similar to the Isha.
Yeah. Aval nira deboi lemishkach, this beautiful language, and he has this throughout, that it has a leitmotif in the Tziv in the first parak, in this part of the first parak. Aval nira deboi lemishkach, right, deshayach kinyan kahai b'hai, sorry, kahai b'mili de kedusha, this beautiful language, kemo nefesh Ha'isha. Ooh. Nefesh Ha'isha. So you see where this is connecting to. But obviously it isn't just the linguistic connection. It's the whole idea. And this is something we've been talking about throughout. Right? U'mishum hachi muchach b'shtar shehu motzi. Right? U'bekesef shepodin hekte shemaiser shein. That you're looking for a davar shebekdusha like nefesh Ha'isha. U'me'ata efshel farish le'el. You have it? Gabe Chalipin lo mekanya nafsha. Right, so he says the pshadit rotzloma shah nefesh lo niknes bepakas mishav pruta. So lo ashkechan gabe hektesh elishav pruta. So this is just a very beautiful interpretation. But as I say, he's very big on this idea throughout. It accentuates what was something we've been talking about all the time, right? And the idea that lo mekanya nafsha means that. And that's the basis for Kesef Shalhana, or for Tabas, or and so on and so forth, or for eliminating the example of Mud. It might also be a reason, Dafka, to think that Mudai would work, if you look at it from a certain point of view. But that part is more flexible. But certainly we can understand where this idea comes from. So that is something I just wanted to add to the mix. Regarding Yisurei and Adra Abanan, anybody get to look? I just wanted to get the Beis Shmuel on the record because I mentioned it. I just wanted to show you that it's really there. Anybody have it? Beis Shmuel? Yakir, do we have it? What is it? Simon? The one that the Avnei Milurim takes on. Simon Chavkes, right. Where is it? Katan, like Tezayin or something?
Non Talad and Beis.
Or it's Sif Tesayin. Sif Katan Nun Beis?
Nun Beis Mandala. The animal is Nun Beis Mandala.
Okay, so just again to get it on the record, because, as I say, the Shulchan Aruch, second. Just a very strange second. Sifkat Nunbeis. Davar, and it's in, right, it's really off Sifkapal. The Shulchan Aruch says, Amakadish Bisur Nadrabanan, Legamri, She'en Lo'ikar Midaraisa, Mikudeshes. Like Chulin Shanishatu Bazar or something like that. The Im, or Trade Rabbanan, the Im Bechametz Daraisa, Vishos Drabanan, or Bechametz Drabanan, Vishos Daraisa, which is Chad Drabanan, Safek Mikudeshes. The Im Bisurei, Doraisa legamri kmo chametz doraisa b'shos doraisa eina mikudeshes. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Beis Shmuel here in Tziv Katan Beis says, quotes the Rosh, maybe Rai Michulin Shanishin to Bazara. Lechein mechalek chulin Shanishin Bazara shani shein likur min haTorah. And then it says ulishitos Rashi v'harambam afilu trei drabanan eina mikudeshes against the Shulchan Aruch. Ulefize huadin shari surei drabanan. She'ein lo ikar min haTorah, ein mikudeshes. He says, according to the Rambam and Rashi, against the Shulchan Aruch, like we explained. Ki chametz, but it's interesting that he mixes Rambam and Rashi. And that's the point I just wanted to make. That's very tamua. Ki chametz d'rabanan v'shos d'rabanan have kemo iser she'ein lo ikar min haTorah. Right? Varan miyashiv asugya. Right, ulefize davar she'ein lo ikar min haTorah einu mikudeshes ulechor nir de einu mikudeshes b'chol yisud rabbanan afilo ein lo ikar min haTorah mikomakom kivin rabbanan asur einu nosei lo klum. And then he says v'chol mekadesh adata drabbanan umekadesh. That seems to be two opposite perspectives. Right, kima she'isa b'shas b'chol mekomos kenei shlomar le'inin davar zeh. Mali im doraisa mutter bahana mikomakom machmas gzeres chazal asur bahana ve'ena nosin laklum. So again, if you say that, you really shouldn't be quoting kala mekadesh adat drabana mekadesh. V'chein yisur b'tshuvas arif v'mekadesh osam lifnei edim psulim midrabanan ena mekudesh as kivin she'edim psulim midrabanan. So this is the transition. In other words, on the one hand, he's telling you seemingly, that this is a natural halacha because lemaisa you can't be able to extract the shavapruta, right? On the other hand, he's now comparing it against the Ritva to mekadesh bepsuleidus drabanan, right? Gam kasafti lele mekadesh osa b'davar shein lo kinyan doraisa rak kinyan drabanan mekomakom konosa b'doraisa kigom maimid shlashtan mishuma idei tikun chazal. Nasa shalom midaraisa. Kein deish lomar hocha lehefech. Machmas gzeres chazal. Eina shalom. Ve'eina kona oso klal. Pitzorachim. So this is just, you should just be aware of that. And this is what triggered a whole discussion in the Avnei Miluim. Because he really says three different things that seem, some of them incompatible, some of them just different. Right? The idea that there's no shovi if there's Yisuri Anah, no matter what the reason for the Yisuri Anah. But then the comparison to Psula Edus Drabanan and Kala Mekadesh Adata Drabanan Mekadesh, right? That's exactly what the Ritva thought was totally incompatible. And then the third point, what about the relationship between Kinyane Drabanan working for Doraisa and Dinim Drabanan undermining Doraisas? And that's exactly where the Avnei Miluim rejects this and calls it into question. Okay, that's in terms of Yisur and Adrabban. Now let's get back to Madai for a couple of minutes. So I mentioned that in Shita Sarambam there's a whole literature whether or not there's any difference between the fact that you have a Yerek, you have a Chefza Shel Mamon, which is Miskayim Ad Madai, right? Or other reasons, other impediments to actually right, accessing, you know, Madai in a practical way. Right? Now, what difference should it make if the Cheftza Shel Kesef, you know, is not Nitan to get there, right, because it's the subject to spoiling, or that the bridge is out, right? If in fact the idea is that you could or that you might, go there, so what difference should it make? Certainly if the idea is that it's a sheer shavapruta because of the access, right, then any reason you cannot get there, right, should, as long as we know that you can't, should be sufficient, right, to torpedo this sheer shavapruta. But if we take the view that maybe there are two dinim, or maybe there's only one halacha, maybe the idea here is the shame mamon. However, it's a tziruf question, namely, right? Why does at what point does shiur mamon or din mamon, right, have any requirements, right, to link to some sort of a market? So you could ask that question in a temporal way, about the present and the past, right? Probably not so much about the future, because that's not known. But, does it matter, what things were at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu or at other points in history, right? Is Moshe Rabbeinu the only thing that matters? That's like the fixed, Hagdara, right? What about other points in time? That's one question. And then the question of other markets, competing markets, becomes a second question, right? If I'm here in New York or in the United States, so what about, Japan or the Middle East or whatever? You get the idea. So is it possible to say that part of the story here is tziruf, right? Because if there are multiple markets, obviously the local market, suggests itself as being very relevant. But, ignore the local market, right? So then the question becomes, on what basis? It's all very abstract. If you have no connection to the other markets, or why should it be the market of Madai and not the market of, Rochester, So, that seems possibly like a secondary question. And then the question is, which markets matter and which don't. So as far as that is concerned, we might say that the ability, right, to access them is what is mitzarif. That makes it that puts it in the orbit, that puts it on your radar screen, your economic radar screen, right? And as a result, it becomes a factor in shame mamon. So if that's really the truth, then is it possible to be mechalek between different kinds of factors? Again, you don't have to. I mean, anybody who says all access is the same access and all lack of access is identical is not going to have a difficult time. Right? But if you do make the distinction, the implication obviously is that there's a formal tziruf element. So the Me'iri does say this in terms of the Rishonim. The Me'iri, talking about the Rambam, makes this distinction. Notes that when it comes to the Cheftza, that's what the Rambam is interested in, but he doesn't seem to be interested in other pragmatic ikuvim, like let's say the bridge, fell down, right? You also might be mechalik between different types of other ikuvim too, like the bridge, there is no access, but had there been, you would have been able to get there, or, in the present, there's a temporary blockage, but typically there really is, a way, to bring this to the Madai market. But you might make all sorts of chilukim. By the same token, a question that the Marik discusses, which we'll see inside of the Beis Shmuel in just a second, and that is, if we can get the other Beis Shmuel up for in just a minute, the Madai one, in other words. So Marik discusses the question on the Cheftza level too. Right, let's say you have an item, right, which is not going to make it to Madai unless you artificially, right, intervene. Like let's say you have vegetables or something, or fruits, or any other, object or, edible with a short shelf life, right? And all things being equal, the way it is, right, it's not going to last till Madai. But if you freeze it, or you do some, you know, you put it in stasis, I don't know, you cryogenically, preserve it or something. You could do something to it, put it that way, that would accomplish this. Does that make a difference or not? Does it depend on the status of the object at the moment of the Kiddushin, right? Or does the ability to intervene, right, and to change when it comes to this particular equation, does that matter, right? So these are all very interesting questions. The Barik certainly thinks that, we'll see in a moment, that certain interventions would work according, to the Rambam. But it's not clear that that's true in the Rambam itself. So either way, if you make the distinctions as the Meiri and the Rambam does, it certainly works a lot better, especially if we take, the view that you can't get there you can't get this object there, for other reasons. Call them extraneous, but in the end of the day, if all you were interested in was shir, shavapruta, it doesn't matter. You're torpedoed. But in terms of tziruf, right, so, mitzara cheftza, right, mitzara gavra, something temporary, something that is typical, these are chilukim that, in theory, could work. Anybody have the language of the Miri or not? I don't think I signed it, but... you have it there? Even though you can't get it there, that's the Miri. Keep going. So he's Michalek within the Rambam. Again, the Rambam doesn't say this, right? The Rambam only says that the Yerek or the Cheftza has to be Roy, right? Laholicha l'madai. It's the Meiri's Chiddush that we're Michalek between Derech Lahagia. Now, if you'd asked me, I might have said, again, on a technical level, I might have said exactly the opposite. I might have said, if the means to get there, like let's say your refrigeration capacity, went down. I'm not sure what anybody would say about that, right? Meaning the Chiddush of the Marik is that you can, cryogenics this, if you can verb cryogenics, right? Either way, the point is, let's say even typically, right, it can be in either direction. Let's say for some reason your normal capacity doesn't exist, and the only way you can't get this to Madai as a result. Right. All I'm saying is that when it comes to the question of access, as opposed to the mobility, let's say, of this particular Cheftza, it's not so obvious to me if you're going to be Mechalek, which way you should be Mechalek. Or if you wanted to put the question in slightly different terms, let's say there was either an intervention, that could be, made to accomplish it, right? Or some sort of artificial impediment that is atypical to the normal status. Those are two different things, right? In all those, let's say, four considerations, if you just asked me, to rank them, I couldn't do it. I mean, I think you could argue, not because we don't have enough imagination to make the argument, but, I think it's a pretty equal argument, whether access per se or the Cheftza per se is more important. So this is a reconstruction rather than an anticipation, we'll call it. But in the end of the day, what's important is the inconsistency. If we can demonstrate, which the Meiri is telling us, and which the Marik is weighing, if we can demonstrate that, even where there's no actual pragmatic access, the fact that in theory the Cheftza isn't the problem, and the Cheftza is accessible, if we accept the Hagdara, the Cheftza is accessible even though you can't get there, and that matters, what we have is a way of being Mitzaref, the distant or global market, right, even without extracting lemaisa shir shavapruta. And that is a very important idea. I also mentioned that Agav, that, you know, once the Rambam, this is very typical, right? I mean, once the Rambam came up with his Yirali, you know, which kind of put a whole different, raised a whole different question, right? Not just, oh, mark it here, mark it there. And again, you know, so everybody responded in their own way, and that's, you know, Kachi Darka Shel Torah, that's part of the natural progress or evolution of halachic thought, right? Now, once you had the Rambam, so everybody's thinking, you know, are there Chokim Neged, the Rambam, who are even more, you know, forthcoming or far-reaching than the Rambam? And that's kind of the Pnei Yehoshua discussion, right? Like, Mechitesi, like, why, you know, why should you even need the Yerek to get there? Like, it's, you know, it's like having a, you know, a Shavapruta, the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a Gzeres HaKasuv. It's a din. It's not about practically, you know, extracting your Shavapruta. So maybe the Rambam is being, you know, draconian about this. He's being machmir, right? And that's one perspective. And then the question becomes, okay, so maybe Pnei Yehoshua is forced into the conclusion to be mechalik between Madbeya and Shavakasef, as a din in Shavakasef Kekasef, in a way. And that works with the Shavali, which we still haven't found yet, but it works with that idea. But he himself raises the possibility that maybe others will say that even the Shavakasa, in Achanami, if it's Shavapruta B'madai, even if you can't get there, the Chafetz can't get there, the road can't get there, there's this, again, the assumption is that it's not Mars, meaning it's a market that is relevant financially, right? And since it's relevant, it has a Din Momon, even if there's no access. So that's one extreme. What also happened at the same time was, because what the Rambam says in a way is so, you just can't ignore it once he raises it. It's such a very basic idea, and it's so compelling in a certain sense that it also, you know, pushes the other way. Like, there's a whole literature, like, maybe the Balei Tosfos would agree in the case of the Rambam? Do they say it's Drabanan only if it's, you know, not accessible to Madai? Maybe the Rambam and the Balei Tosfos agree. So that's the suffix of the Chelkas Mechokek in Shulchan Aruch, and the Beis Shmuel kind of just dismisses it. But it's fascinating because the Beis Shmuel, we'll read it inside in just a second, he dismisses because he says, oh, doesn't, when Rishonim say, when Balei Tosfos are quoted as saying, Ein lehekdesh ela mekom v'shaito, right, it doesn't sound like they're considering, you know, the possibility of Madai travel. Right? But, I mean, is that such a strong question, really? I mean, maybe the assumption is that, you know, Ein lehekdesh ela mekom v'shaito means access to accessible, means, you know, accessible markets. So in a sense, there's a little bit of a bias there, too. Although my own instinct is that what the Beis Shmuel says is correct. But it's just very interesting, you know, what happened was, once the Rambam introduced this yearly, you ended up sharpening, it sharpened the debate, and of course, it's particularly sharper once you have the Meiri and these other Sfeikos, you know, about distinguishing between different, you know, impediments to access, which is fascinating. But you also then get a kind of reassessment and a sharper understanding of the Balei Tosfos, right? And a reassessment of those who may even go further, right, than the Rambam. So the Beis Shmuel tells you, oh, like, the Ram doesn't need the Rambam's, you know, yearly, which I think is true. But again, can't take a Shmuel Daraisa about it. Maybe it's incorporated. Yeah. Yeah.
This might be a little far-fetched, but like if you lost the whatever chafetz you were on the way to Madai,
yeah,
maintained value.
What do you mean?
Like, let's say, like, what I'm thinking of is, like, let's say something that's degraded into, like, ash or whatever.
You would?
Like, whatever chafetz you had degraded into, like, from, like, it was a cucumber, it turned into ash, so I don't know. It turned into something that is used for a different purpose in Madai, so it maintains its value, but switched.
Well, that's a very good question. That's an interesting question. So again, if the problem is a tziruf, if the problem is, oh, can you take this chayfetz and get a pruta out of it, the gavra, right? Then it shouldn't matter so much. But in a way, what you're asking is a little parallel to a part of our Yisuri Anah discussion. And that's when the Rishonim said, even Yisuri Anah Doraisa, you can use lachar shenasas mitzvaso. And then some of the Rishonim said, well, that's a different chayfetz. There's no tziruf.
Right, but what do you mean there's no tzirif? Begavra, if I can do it, I can do it. It's fungible. Is that what they say? Right, I can turn it into value. Right, it has buying power. Right, would somebody invest in any Surianna in a way? I mean, if they were like distressed assets, you know. So it's like a really distressed asset, right? But it's only valuable when you convert it into something that it isn't. Okay, but begavra is, if you're a businessman and you want to make money, what do you care? The answer is, if there's any formalism in all of this, namely, if you need hanas hachepsa, it has to come from its identity. So its identity, you know, is terminated. That's the whole point of nasis mitzvasa or afa. So you're here, it's not isura no. So there's no impediment in that. It's not like a formal thing. You're just saying, well, maybe in addition to the factor of whether the bridge is up or down, in addition to the factor whether the vegetables are going to keep, in addition to the factor whether or not, spraying them or cryogenicizing them, you know, or just bringing along a refrigerator, you know, is part of the story, all of which the post can talk about. You're saying, in addition to that, what about the fact that you're a Mekadesh Tamra, you know, that, you know, here, graded Tamras is meaningless, but, you know, there, it's true that Tamras is worth a pruta, but it's only worth a pruta when it undergoes some, in a way, it's like, it's a more intense form of the Marik's question, right? But it's still different, because in the Marik, the identity is the same. You just have to intervene artificially, right, to be able, it's not naturally going to get there. You have to intervene to make it get there. And what you're saying is you have to turn it into something, into a permutation in order to get it there. That's a step beyond. I don't think it's crazy.
Could you do a step beyond that also if, like,
no, it's not that right. Okay. Where you draw the line, I don't know. But you got the idea. Yeah. It hasn't. Isn't that what we've been saying, kind of?
I'm not sure.
About the shame amon.
Right.
But that's
dictated by the tziruf to the other market.
But does the Ran really need the tziruf to the other market? I think it could be. Let me say it this way: if the Ran required tziruf to the other market lemaisa, I think that would still be the explanation, rather than being the more pragmatic point. Because on the pragmatic side of it, he's still up. You know, he still has a problem in terms of the stira of the 2 points of the Ran. But I think Lemaisa, the Ran, doesn't even require tziruf to the other market, because maybe he thinks that Shei Momon applies even without the... I agree with you that could be a condition on the global Shei Momon. Yeah. So anyway, let's get back to the Ran for a second. So again, that's in terms of the Rambam, and it's also, just as I say, an interesting phenomenon post-Rambam, how everything got sharpened and diluted at the same time, meaning... the recognition that, oh, this is Shitas HaRambam uniquely and not Bali Tosis and not the Ran and maybe not Rashi or the Riyah Zakein sharpens everything. And at the same time, you have the tendency to say, hey, you know, maybe the Bali Tosis would agree in the case of the Rambam. Maybe the Rambam would agree, you know, in some of these other conditions. So that's an interesting, you know, Maisim Shebechol Yom phenomenon, but it's an interesting one. Regarding the Ran, so again, just to reiterate, because we were running a little bit in the end, the problem with the Ran takes this very fascinating stance that the problem of Madai is a problem of Lididi, or the solution of Madai. The reason Madai were Koshin is because Lididi Shavali. The problem, and this is what the Beis Shmuel is addressing, I want to read it inside in a second, is that if it's Lididi Shavali, so it should be restricted by the Ran's own Safek. This is the Ran of Dafid Beis Amidala. Right in the Madai Sugya. But it should be restricted by what the Ran himself wrote on Dav Ches and Aleph, which is the Safek that Lididi Shavali cannot cross the Pruta barrier. Right? So, Mimad of Shach, what's he talking about? And it doesn't seem like that's the Safek, you know, in Chai Shinan, the Madai. Right? So what the Beis Shmuel pretty much says, so Shua is saying, oh, if there was a global... a market that was relevant, based on tziruf, right? That's what you're saying? So that would solve the problem. I totally agree. But let's assume for the moment, like the Beis Shmuel, that the Ran doesn't need that. He doesn't need the Rambam at all. Even then it's fine, and that's what the Beis Shmuel is kind of saying. We're going to read it inside in a second. Namely, that there are really two dinim. There's the din of Shem Mamon, and there's a din of Shavapruta. Right? Make Kesa Shalana, maybe. Or whatever. Or you need both. It's two dinim. So what the Ran said in Davches is that Ladidi Shavali cannot create a Shem Mamon. It can only add quantitative shiur, personal shiur, it can have. But there's no such thing as personal Shem Mamon. That's really the idea of the Ran. And it's a very, again, is it Mukhrach? No. Is it very logical, very compelling? Yes. Okay? But that's the point. The point is that here, the Shavapruta B'madai solves the, you know, Shem Mamon part of it. Right? All that's lacking is the Shir Shavapruta. And that's exactly where you get the element of Ladidi Shavali. So it's still Mechudash when you put the Rans together. And I'm just adding, all I was adding when we first mentioned this was that the Rans' view on Gimel, the Havamina of Kli Pachos Mipruta, the Maskana that it doesn't work in Kiddushin, especially in light of the whole Rajba in Shavuot's topic, right? And then also to connect to the Ran and his comments on Vavmud Beis, right? Regarding the Rambam, all that works in very nicely for the Ran. Do we have the language of the Beis Shmuel? If we could just get it up, because there are a few other points I just wanted to make in the Beis Shmuel. Do we have it, Yakir?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Do you mind?
We have technical problems.
Oh, we have technical. So can you... What Sif Katan is it?
Sif Lamed Aleph.
Lamed Aleph?
Sif Katan Vav.
Lamed Aleph Vav. So I'll follow along. Yeah, Lamed Aleph is Madai. So it's just a jam-packed... again, some of these Beis Shmuels are just like, you know, amazing. Yeah. So go ahead, Yakir, if you don't mind. Let me just find it here. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, if you don't mind. The Ein Lomar, or whatever. Oh, so that's number one. Just again, this is just a way to tie a lot of things together also. What do you make of that? That language. Worth noting or obvious?
Surprising.
Nice. Even... Neither of the two options I gave, and you're right. You're correct. Surprising. Why? Why?
Because it seems like the issue here has nothing to do with an Eidos issue. It's just
exactly. What's up to do with Eidos, right? To say Ein Lahekdesh Shalom Mekom Avishayta. This has to do with Shovi. Why make it into an Eidos problem? So this is a. You'll see in this whole piece, the Beit Shmuel and other ones also. This is like a bit of an emphasis. We'll call it. Right, so what does it what does it suggest? Would you say this? I'm not sure if this is totally consistent about, but look, what would make it better a little bit is that the lack of edim is like a bit of a you know, it's a way of conveying that what. Yeah, exactly. That you're lacking the formal aspect of Kiddushin, which implies that his view, or works much better, let's say, of his view of Eidei Kiyum, consistent with what we talked about, the Ritva, the Reb Chaim, the view that Eidei Kiyum are a presence and that they formalize the Kiddushin. So what he's saying is that it's still surprising a little bit, right? Because you might have thought this is like a very basic idea. But what he's saying is if, you know... this is lacking in the formality of Kesef Kiddushin, or the Eidei Kiyum seeing this witnessing this Kiddushin seemingly with less than a pruta, right? Even if you were to solve it on some other objective Kesef level, is a problem, right? Whereas if it was just Eidei Birur, you could just say, well, so they'll go to court and we'll put it all together later, right? It was Shavu Pruta B'mana, but they saw what they saw. Right? They have to know what they see, and it has to be like Bishaito, Mavurar, in such a way and formalized. Okay, go ahead. The Mokum Sheidim Omdim in the Shav Pruta. Again, who cares about the Mokum Sheidim Omdim? In the local market, it doesn't have Shovi. Okay, go ahead. Yishlomar?
Yishlomar came into the Safik, Shav Shav Pruta Mokum Acher, Safik Yu Gam Ta'idim.
Right, so it's not like he gave the answer, you know, this has nothing to do with the Edim. He says, yeah, the Edim themselves know about the Chashash. And we'll see, according to him, they really have to know about the Chashash. That's a remarkable thing. You can't just put it all together, right, later on in a court case, which if it was Birur, you certainly could. They have to have a certain perspective on what it is that they are witnessing at the time. That's amazing. Okay, keep going. Yeah, so again, this is his way, this is an example of what I said a second ago, right? Of like introducing, like once the Rambam introduced this, you know, you just can't ignore it, so you just got to think about it at least. You're going to get all sorts of interesting opposite, you know, results with it, but you can't ignore it. So this is the idea. By the way, the Bali Tosis, right, are going to be machmir even in the Rambam's case, right? Okay, because their concern is pragmatic, right? It's people making a mistake. But again, the Bali Tosis, I think I mentioned before already, is a very interesting. The idea of, you know, of neutralizing any kind of ambiguity or mistakes that people could make in terms of the standards of Kiddushin is very much in the forefront of Bali Tosa Shita here. Okay, keep going. Vim Teitza Belo Get, Yom Ruei Shasish, Teitza Belo Get. Go ahead. Okay, so that's what I was referring to before, right, of the ability to intervene, right, to change the natural course, natural trajectory of this chefta. Is that something the Rambam would be happy with or not? So again, I think, you have to ask this level now on two levels. You have to ask this question on two levels, right? In light of the Meiri and other questions, right? On a pragmatic level, right? You know, how do you look at the pragmatic? Only, you know, on the basis of what is, or basis also what you could do, right, to make it more accessible. It isn't accessible now, but you could, you know, shoot it full of, you know, growth hormones or freeze it or whatever. That's one question. And the second question is in terms of the formality of it, the tziruf of it, right? Does this have a shame kesef kiddushin if you need to do something to it, right? Of which there are different gradations too. But the Marik says at least this is included in the Shita Sarama. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, so that's also fascinating that some people thought that the Rambam was a din d'rabbanan, right? That midaraisa, he thought ein lahekdesh shalom mekom of shaita applies here, but pashtus says that's not correct. Go ahead. Miu harosh kasav d'rambam. Yeah. Okay. Then he comes back to his first point. Go ahead, Venera. Yeah. So again, that's just a repeat of what we said before, but you see he's really serious about it. Okay, Veleika Elak Shash Kiddushin, Mishim Da Edim Misipakim. Yeah.
Venera Af Im Yadula Edim, Sarflamaratam, Dehavi Kilu Amrahi Lidisha Fruta, Kivan Shamfruta Vakamath.
This he's saying now for the Ran, right?
Yeah.
This is where the Beis Shmuel is asking the Stira and the Ran. It just he doesn't ask it with enough fanfare, you know, to pick up on it if you don't know what's going on. Which is a pity because this is a major, major breakthrough. It's a very strong question, right, and a very important chiluk. Keep going. Sorry. Mahani. Yeah. Here's here's something I want to zero in on. Keep going. Miu.
Miu kasha misuga pergris pirushin dafnu kimo. Tanish meiser pirushashi sham shnei pirushin.
So he's Mekadish with Maiser Sheni, right? Maiser Sheni cannot be used other than in Yerushalayim, correct? And it sounds like the Kiddushin Daraisa, if he does it B'mezid, right? If he does it B'shogeg, so there's no Smichastas, whatever. The Gemara says B'mezid, the Kiddushin is Chal Minat Torah, correct? Akir? Yeah? What? I didn't see you. Okay, that's the Gemara in Daf Nun Gimel. Okay, so what's the question? So he's Mekadesh with something that is essentially not worth a pruta b'mekomo, but it's going to be worth a pruta in Yerushalayim. Afagab osa mokam ene shavar pruta mekom mokam mekudeshes miyad kivin sheshavar pruta b'Yerushalayim. Shamu chak tuhu mekudeshes midaraisa. So hikshem b'bechoros, b'viutosus, v'ay maiser dekepina torah liftos b'kesef tzura, Kamri b'mezid kidesh, shema mina kiddushin daraisa dinu. Im kein eich kasa v'rash sham b'shem ri, dafilim yadua sheshamar pruta b'makam acher, eina mekudeshas midaraisa, dein lahek shana mekoma v'shaito. Right? So this is a very strong question against Balei Tosfos for the Rambam, for the Ran. The Efshar, shamayri kishyesh la derech laholich l'Yerushalayim. So if you think the chiluk, if you think that the ri, right, thinks that access, like the Rambam, is good, is enough, but he said before that didn't work, right? Right? Oz hi mekudeshes midaraisa. Okay, midaraisa, but just not midrabana. U'b'chokas mechokek mesupak b'din zem yesh lo derech laholi chosa mokam memavik kiddushin daraisa. Again, this is all because of the Rambam. Well, if he suffek shelo, right, if according to his suffek that it wouldn't make a difference, daraisa, even if you could get there, it's still ain't the hekdash of the mekom of v'shaito, even daraisa, right? Ain't the yachal yashev kushazu. Gam hashmos halasher mashu kasev rashi ain't the hekdash of the mekom of v'shaito mashma filim yesh l'derech l'sham. That's what I mentioned before. Mekom mokom ain't mekudesh daraisa dal kopanim mekom aleikas sham apruta. The tema liyashev kushazu. So he leaves it. Is it such a terrible question? So I want to say two things. For the other Rishonim, is it such a terrible question? Avram, what do you think? I mean, we can't leave it, right? We owe it to the Balei Tosfos. The large, large majority of the Rishonim think this Gemara is only a Din Drabana. That Midoraisa doesn't work. So what do you think? Same? Is it the same?
Assuming that, right?
Yeah, what's different about it? Two things, I would say. Maybe two overlapping things, or maybe just two things. What's different about it? What role? Two or three things, even. But they're. Alex.
The Maaser Sheni itself is worth something. It's just you can't actually access it until you.
Number one, the problem is not in the value, in the objective value, of the peros. It's the halacha. Right, that you can't eat these peros chutz mirushalayim. So who says that the din of ein lahekdash al mekom v'shaita, which is about the market value, right? Who says that that applies when you have a halachic, right, impediment or a halachic, right, dimension to all of this, right? Because the fruit is perfectly a pruta. Right, that's number one. Number two. When it comes to Eilu Hekdash Ela Mekom V'Shaito, typically, right, so the local market is the obvious market. In addition to being the local market, and this is the reality of your life, I mean, it's practically where you live, say it this way, right? It's also your first reality, economically, right? Formally. And therefore, you know, the rule of Ein Lehekdeshel Mekom HaVeshaito, namely, that pragmatically and formally, first and foremost, your economic life definitions, you know, and so on, you know, come from your local environment is perfectly reasonable. Just to add to it, and if there's some other market somewhere else, in addition to not being the first market, you know, the natural market, both in terms of your, you know, frequenting it and living there and so on, you could also ask a different question, like, forget about your local market. And one market out there, Madai, is enough. And what about, what about China, and what about India, you know, and what about, you know, all the other places in the world? It's not like your, you know, one place is the only place where this is not Shavaprutta. There's only one other place where it is Shavaprutta. That also may have been a factor. It's an interesting question to ask. Let's say your market is the exception. Not that Madai is the exception. Would that matter? Maybe not. But it's at least something you think about. But here it's more than that. Here you have a situation where these are overlapping points too, but all three are really overlapping, but they also might be self-sufficient. You have a situation where this is chefs shel ma'aser sheni. It's a legal status. What are you supposed to do with ma'aser sheni? Right? It's the chiyuv, it's the definition of ma'aser sheni that it's supposed to be brought to Yerushalayim. Right? So number one, it isn't an economic market issue. It's a halachic issue. Number two, there's a reason not to be looking at this particular item in a local way, because the whole point is that it's supposed to be carried out of the local market. Number three, the place which it has value, right, isn't just some arbitrary single place. That's the destiny. L'shichno sidrushu v'asa shah. That's the place you're supposed to bring this ma'aser sheni. Right? I mean, I don't want to get into the hashkafa so much, but, you know, the Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvos and the Bali Tosfos and Baba Basra, they all quote the Sifrei. One of the reasons you're supposed to take, you know, ma'aser sheni to Yerushalayim, you know, you don't need this, but is, you know, to be in Yerushalayim, you know, to benefit from the environment and the spiritual atmosphere, you know, of being there. But either way, the point is that this is a cheftza whose lack of pruta here is because it's miyuad to be, its destiny is to be in Yerushalayim. So for all these three overlapping reasons, even the Bali Tosfos will say to you, for one of the three, or for some combination of the three which overlap, that the hagdara of this as Kesef Kiddushin is defined by the capacity to bring it to Yerushalayim. That's what I would suggest. Okay. And again, it kind of highlights, you know, some of the chilukim or non-chilukim, as the case may be. Okay. Now let's turn our attention quickly. Yeah.
Just, it might be the same thing as the first one, but also you could be told that the Ma'aser Sheni, and then it would become worth a Shavuot.
Correct. And that highlight, that's absolutely correct. And that kind of, I think it highlights these other points. It highlights A, that it's halachic, B, that the whole point of it is the yiud to bring it to Yerushalayim, or to bring to Yerushalayim, right, the matbea, you know, with a tzura samatbea, that you can acquire things in Yerushalayim. But I agree with it. I think it reflects all three in a way. But it's a very good point. Okay. So that's in terms of Shkaishin and Shem HaShavaprut of Amadai. Then I think I already mentioned that the Rishonim who quote Lo Makanya Nafsha, in the context of the Riyu Deime, implying that maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a Kiddushin and a Hekdesh thing more than it is even other things. But I would say, in a Hekdesh on the Makom of the Shaito. Again, so the, you know, the Pnei Yeshua's Ha'ara about Shuma, you know, is, as opposed to Shavaprut or Din Mamon, is a good Ha'ara. There's also something else to ask, and that is, you know, is this a special Din in Hekdesh How do you know it applies to Kiddushin? But if you take also the view of Makanya Nafsha and the Netziv that we mentioned, and in general, you know, Asa L'Kulama Kehekdesh, which we still have to build up more, right? We know a little bit about it, but we still have to talk about it more when we get to Dav Zayin, when we talk about Pashta, Kiddushin, Bekula. I mean that there are really characteristics of Hekdesh that apply in Ishus. Tosis' comment, as we discussed, you know, about whether or not you use the Lashon Arayat Mekudeshes or not, that could have impact. We talked a little bit about it, but I'll talk a little bit more. Part of the story here also is an interesting issue in Hekdesh Shel Mekom HaVishaito. You know, is that just a proxy for all Shumas and for all Hagdaros of Mamon? Is it limited to Hekdesh? If so, what about Kiddushin for the various views of Rishonim? What about other impediments? That's what we're talking about now. Again, the Beis Shmuel didn't see any difference between Ma'aser Sheni. He was taking a very pragmatic point of view. And the question of Shavah Pruta. Okay. Good. So now let's talk just for a minute about being Mekadosh B'Madbeya and the Shir of Shavah Pruta. And then let's talk about Shtar Admei and a little bit the sugyas on Adaf Hei Omid Aleph. Okay. So with regard to the question of Madbeya, that's an interesting discussion, especially in light of our discussion of, you know, Kesef versus Shava Kesef. Right, you would think that, you know, the best would be Madbeya. And, you know, in terms of din or shame mamon, certainly the downside with Madbeya, of course, is that two things. Number one, it doesn't have intrinsic value. It has representational value, or, you know, it has buying power, but it's not defined in terms of intrinsic value. Not necessarily impediment, but at least something to be aware of. On the other hand, it's more over la socher, it's more formal, right? The other problem with a matbea is the problem, is the question whether there's a problem regarding daita atzurta, right? The fact that it has, and tzurta avida levatla, yeah.
How do we know that matbea doesn't have intrinsic value?
Well, it may, put it this way, it may have intrinsic value as a coin, as a metal content, but I'm talking about its pricing power in a given economy. If you assume that it isn't connected to the metal, we'll get to that in just a second.
Why wouldn't you assume that the coin, matbea itself, has value?
Does or doesn't?
Does. What else would have value if not for matbea?
I'm not following. You have a metal, right, which is pressed in a certain way or whatever. Right, and I'm just raising the question: is the value associated with it the value of its buying power conventionally, because society, for whatever reason, and it could be connected originally to the content of the metal, for sure. Historically, I'm not a historian of numismatics, but clearly, initially, there's a relationship between the content of the metal and the nature of the tzura, right? Maybe the aesthetic aspect of it, whatever, the symbolic aspect of it, and the value. But all I'm saying is, as time goes on in a society, right, there's also, it assumes a certain conventional value that more and more probably or likely diverges from the metal content.
Okay, what does that, so by intrinsically mean what's the intrinsic entity here that doesn't have value?
What I'm trying to convey is that the matbea's value in a society is what the markets decide efficiently, right? It has buying power for, rather than a more direct, let's say, measure of that by means of the metal content.
Wouldn't the metal also be determined? The value of metal be determined by something?
It is, but that's a more direct. That's by supply and demand, and by the usage. That isn't based on convention alone. That's usually based. Well, we'll see in a second. This is certainly the way Avnibiluim understands it. We'll see. Avnibiluim has a little bit of a different view, but basically, there's a more direct correlation between the metal value and the conventional value. Typically, again, if
so
you have certain legal, certain financial systems, right, there always there's a tighter correlation between metal content and the status of the. Of the matbeya as a matbeya.
So I would call the hefif that first you have to determine some primitive category of value, some monetary value, and then later you can fix different metals.
I don't think that's true. I mean, again, I don't know the history of coinage, but I don't think that's usually true. I think as time goes on,
the public that you have to have some.
In America
some
today,
category of value before you can start fixing value to different commodities. So the
you have to have both. You have
what
to have.
What would have intrinsic worth is that primitive entity of value, not the thing that you're connecting the value with.
You have to have both, but there is a certain conventional. There's a social pact when you have coinage, when you have any kind of symbolic, formal monetary system. That this is going to have a certain amount of buying power.
Same thing for any metal. Gold also is a conventional.
No, because the metal, that's what I was saying before, the metal is certainly always related to its usage. Now, it could be its usage in coinage. It could be its usage in...
The usage of metal as a precious commodity is socially contrived.
It's not socially contrived. It's not intrinsic, but it's based on supply and demand and the actual usage or functionality of the metal. Right, if gold.
So when we talk about kesef versus shava kesef, so we think that like shpitz kesef is like the metal value, not the coinage value.
So that's part of what I'm going to discuss. That's part of the issue here.
That's
what the Avnei Miluim is taking a stand on. I'm not so sure if it's true, but that's exactly the point.
And so right now we're open to either matbea having intrinsic value or.
We're open. No, if you want, I'm open to it. If I'm open to the question, what is the real kesef, as let's say, as opposed to ma'os and shava kesef, whether it's more matbea or more something of intrinsic value. But I think the categories of intrinsic value of the metal of the content, as opposed to the usage that a society assigns to it, I think those are two completely different categories. But which is the real, what you just called Spitz Kesef?
Yeah.
I think that is an open question. Yes.
So we think that it could be, just to get this straight, so we could hold that Spitz Kesef could be Matbeya and still hold that Matbeya has no intrinsic value?
Yes, because its conventional usage and buying power is still more formalized in a society.
So
a dollar bill.
Kesef would be a
I wouldn't call it a non-intrinsic entity. I would say that it gets its stature from being the measure, the way that you measure other things, and the way that you...
But it sounds like we're saying now that Shavik Kesef, i.e. the metal, has more...
I didn't say the metal is the Shavik Kesef. The metal may be the Kesef too. I think there are three things. There is the Matbeya, which is the conventional use... Usage of, for reasons of efficiency or legality, it could be for reasons of, srara, the king has his, likeness, stamped on this thing, whatever it is that, that assigns the stature to coinage, its usage ends up being something that gives it. Right, a certain cachet. And that cachet may be very important halachically. That's one thing. I'm suggesting that is kesef. Whether that's more kesef than the intrinsic value of the metal or the material that makes it is, I think, an open question. It is kesef. It's not shava kesef. But we'll see in a moment. Actually, I mean...
So we think now that just gold could have it in kesef?
These are the questions that we're asking. So just hold off for one second. We'll see. So, again, for certain halachos, there's something called tiva and peira, for example, right? in Hilchos Ribbis, there's something called Tiva and Peira. In the sugars in the beginning of Hazav, there's something called Tiva and Peira, because the beginning of Hazav, we're trying to figure out both Ribbis, and also who's the Kone, who's the Makne. Right? If you, so there's a whole discussion there about Zav, about Kesef, about Nechoshes, how you translate that in other ways, etc. For purposes of Maisa Sheni, you need a Kesef Sheish Batsura. Right? That's a category in its own right, not necessarily, you know, Madbea Hayotze in Skora. Either way, the problem with Madbea is, the benefit of Madbea is its wide usage, its ubiquity, its ease of use. Those are efficiency things, but also that it becomes kind of the, it becomes de facto the way that society measures and therefore defines Kesef. The downside, as I say, is that if it isn't correspondent in terms of the materials that it's composed of, and also daita, tzurta, can have a negative. That's what we see from the sugya of Chalipin. Namely, there's always the concern that, you know, this government or this king or, you know, this method, let's say, will go out of business, which makes it less intrinsic in a certain sense, meaning the metal is always going to be the metal. It can go up in price, down in price, based on supply and demand, usefulness, and so on. But supply and demand both for its intrinsic use, supply and demand for its use in coinage, right? Or as paperweights, whatever the case, you know, may be. But it's not going to it's not going to go out of business. And its value is correlated to something more easily defined. Daita Tzurta has that downside. Anyways, regarding, I don't want to spend too much time on all this, just very quickly. So with regard to, again, Chalipin is excludes Matbeya, as we know. There is a little interesting discussion about Kiddushin b'matbeya. So this, again, the Beis Shmuel in Simen Chav Zayin Sif Katan Aleph and Simen Lamed Aleph Sif Katan Hey suggests that l'chatchila ein mekadshin b'matbeya, based on, he quotes the Mordechai. The Mordechai seems to say that this is a dindra banan, but that l'chatchila you shouldn't use coins, coinage, right? That would include dollar bills, right? And that you shouldn't use money, as we call it. You shouldn't use that for kiddushin. The Avnei Miluim in Simen Chav Zayin Sif Katan Beis, one of the ones I want you to look at very quickly, is very unhappy about this. Says that, number one, it's based on the Mordechai, but the Mordechai doesn't say it. They're really, the source is the Hagos Mordechai, and the Hagos Mordechai really asks the question, you know, why, when it comes to Chalipin, we exclude Matbeya based on Daita Atzurta, right, and Tzurta Abida Betela, and why here, right, why when it comes to Kiddushin, like, we're not concerned. He doesn't actually say that there's a Dindra Abana that you shouldn't be Mekadesh with a Madeya. He just wonders why the Chalipin problem isn't the problem here. So the Avnei Miluim's contribution is to say that according to the view of Rashi in Hazav, which is that Daita Tzurta is a problem of Kli Mesuyam, right, in Chalipin you need a Kli Mesuyam. It's not Kesef. As we know, we spent a lot of time trying to discuss the different ways of distinguishing, right, between Kesef and Chalipin. What we demonstrated was that there are some Rishonim who think that, you know, Chalipin is very close to Kesef, even the Maskana, certainly in Avamin of Argamar and Gimel and Aleph, but even the Maskana, or Ben Tam, and Sefer Yashar, right, the Raivin and the Savadim, and the Mechir Perek Chavtes. And even then, we have to make distinctions, whether the way the Ksos understood the Tosis Rid, or distinctions that we suggested about barter and other things, barter and payment. But as the case may be, certainly there are a lot of Rishonim who think that the Yisod of Chalipin is clean. Indeed, whole discussion about, like, why isn't You know, why does everybody agree with Levi on the basis of, Hana and on Mchashuv? Some of the formulations in the Kamai that we saw, the Talmud HaRajba, others write that. Chalipin is a keli. It's a kli for kli. Again, shav b'shaveh, shav b'enish b'shaveh, especially if you see it in terms of barter or other things. It's a din in kli and kli mesuyam. Kli mesuyam does not allow for a matbeah, because it's not a kli. Again, because it doesn't have use. It's not based on its functionality, the matbeah. It's based on, again, the conventional usage that society assigns to it, formally and efficiently, some sort of combination of both. So there, the concern that, that is partly based on the tzura doesn't change the value objectively. The tzura is what gives it currency, coinage, gives it its stature, it gives it its cachet, it has the name of the country, it has blazon, has the picture of the king. But all of that is inconsistent with the notion of kli mesuyam. Right. So that obviously doesn't have any effect on Kiddushin, because Kiddushin doesn't work b'chalipin. Kiddushin works midin kasef. And matbeya is maybe a better form of kasef, maybe a worse form of kasef, but the kli mesuyam problem of daita tzurta, right, is certainly not an issue. But, he says, if you hold like Muke Yosef and other Rishonim and Azav, who say that the problem is a problem of rotze b'kiyumo shel davar, namely, is this something that you're going to keep or that you look at in terms of keeping? Which is a little ironic, because we also know the Gemara in the Darim Daf Mem Ches, which we spend time on, right, which is that typically in the case of Chalipin, the Chepetz is returned. And Machlokas Rishonim, whether notwithstanding the line in the Gemara in the Darim Mem Ches, which seems to say, b'di'eved im tapas mafkinan, lo mafkinan, but maybe that's not la halacha, right? The Chachmei Sfarad felt that way. But nonetheless, the idea may be that if you take something, you're looking at it more intrinsically for what it is, so then efshar b'kiyumo, is still a factor. And if you're talking about, kiddushin, you're not keeping the mos kiddushin, or you're talking about kinyan karka, you're not keeping the mos. The mos isn't a commodity in any way. You're not looking at it that way. You're looking at it as buying power. It's, again, fungibility. It's the ability to turn it into buying power is what's important about it. So there would be no problem of daita atzurta. That's the Avnei Milun's idea. But he adds, based on the Muke Yosef, that because of Kedushas Ishus, it's still better, not to be Mekadesh B'tabas, not to be Mekadesh, with a Madbeya, echoing a little bit the Sefer Achinuch's preference. Sefer Achinuch says it's a preference for Tabas, he doesn't really so much negate Madbeya per se, but basically the same idea. But then he notes that the Makne has another explanation of this Beit Shmuel, which I didn't get a chance to see. But just to put it in context of the other things that we've seen, what we might say is that the Lachatchila, at least to avoid Matbeya, especially by virtue of the fact that it is more of more temporary nature, perhaps, in terms of its intrinsicness, may again be this question of Kesef Shel Hana. But certainly Lahalacha, no one thinks that this is Ma'akev. They just try to avoid it, lahalacha. Okay, that's one discussion. The second discussion is on the shiur of pruta itself. So here you have, again, what's the Eitan Yisad, the Avnei Miluim? Has these two big pieces. But we can summarize them very, very quickly, but it puts the issues on the table. Some of the things that we were raising a minute ago, that Tamar was asking about also. Namely, what is the shiur of Shava Pruta? And what's the issue? Did you see it?
Yeah, it's whether we go by the time of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah. Whether we go by the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, number one. And number two, by the silver content. Yeah. By the value of silver.
Yeah,
in other words, go ahead.
Just the
exactly. So the Amnei Miluim at least thinks that this is a difference between Kesef and Mamo, and he's very disturbed by it. But it starts off with the view that according to the Rif and according to the Rambam and according to most of the Rishonim actually who weigh in here, Shava Pruta or Pruta is defined by Chatzi Saora of Kesef. And the question that that he's discussing is Chatzi Saora, there are two ways you could do it. One is Chatzi Saora of Kesef, right, as a metal content. That's the metal, as a metal value. The metal value of Chatzi Saora of Kesef in any generation, whether it is relative to its buying power and other, let's say, commodities in the economic system of the time, whether or not it is, you know, more or less valuable. Do we care, in other words, about the proportionality of, let's assume for the moment that Shava Pruta at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, Lu Yatsuya, we could measure it, right, if we had a way to do that, or we had a Mesorah, whatever it is, that it's Chatzi Saora of Kesef. And let's assume at that time, Chatzi Saora of Kesef, you know, bought you, you know, a snack, you know, or whatever. I don't know, it bought you an egg, it bought you a zayas, it bought you a snack, I don't know, whatever it bought. Okay, and let's say today, you know, the Hunt brothers, you know, either succeeded or, like, you know, we talked about the you know, what do you call it, guys, the Bitcoin guys last week, right? The Winkle Varses, whatever they are, twins. So there were also Hunt brothers, right? Anybody know about the Hunt brothers? Were they Hunt? Bunker Hunt? Hunt brothers? Yeah. Anyway, they tried to monopolize the silver market back in the Bunker Hunt. What was the guy's name?
Nelson Bunker Hunt.
What?
Nelson Bunker Hunt.
Nelson Bunker. He had a brother also. Yes, like these people, they go in brothers. They go
Herbert Hunt and Lamar Hunt.
Yeah, three of them.
Three of them
from Texas. So when was it? Yeah. What year was that?
He just died 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what.
I think it was like in the 90s or something. I remember. Was it?
1980. Beginning in the early 1970s.
1979.
Oh, 79?
Yeah.
Anyways, for a while they, you know, they were buying up all the silver and like it was through the roof, and then it all, you know, burst. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think they were poor ever, but, you know, they had seen better days. Anyways, the point is, what happens when you, you know, they were speculators in the metal, but that, like, it was an incredible, for a time, it was just a coup, right? Then it imploded, basically. So the question is, if you have, if silver is very expensive, obviously, so why Chatzi Saora, right? What about a quarter of a Saora or a tenth of a Saora? They can get you that snack in the, you know, in the candy store or whatever that it could in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, or vice versa, right? What if Chatzi Saora of Kesef today gets you nothing? You know, they used to have, like, you know, 10-cent stores. Now they have dollar stores. They're going to have soon $10 stores, you know. So inflation, you know, what can you do? So basically that's the issue that the Avnei Miluim discusses. So he again portrays it very sharply. He thinks that it's a machlokas between who and who? Eitan? The Rambam and the Rif think Chatzi Saora thinks that's across the board. So his analysis is, Itamar may not agree, and I don't think I agree either on this point. He says, all there is either coinage, right? Or if you're not, there's either coin, there are three things, I guess. There's coinage, there is metal content, right? And there is buying power, right? I mean, he doesn't say this, but this is based. I'll read you some lines very quickly. These are the three elements: coinage, right? Metal content, buying power. His problem is that there was no pruta coinage in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was only a ma, and a dinar. So if you're talking about pruta, right? So you would have thought that as a madbeya, coinage doesn't exist. All that exists is either the metal content, and then the metal content, whatever, with the Hunt brothers, without the Hunt brothers, it goes up, it goes down, whatever it is, that's what it is, right? Or it's the buying power, right? So the reason that he quotes the Ritva doesn't really say so much, right? Why does he quote the Ritva? Which Ritva does he quote? Eitan, you saw it, right?
Yeah.
This is very fascinating. Which Ritva does he quote? A Ritva that we've seen, that we talked about. What? The Ritva Daf Yud Aleph, about Beis Shammai. Right, the Ritva said that when the Mishnah says Bepruta, Beshava Pruta, Bedinar, Beshava Dinar, right, why not just, all the Rishonim asked the question, why not just say Shava Pruta? Right? So the Ritva has an added Ha'ara. Most of the Rishonim ask this question because they say, oh, and other Mishnayos, that's what we say. Also, if Shava Pruta works, then certainly Pruta works. Right? The Ritva has a slightly different wrinkle. The Ritva's wrinkle is, if you're talking about Dinar, then Dinar and Shava Dinar make sense because it was a Dinar in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a category called Dinar, and there's another category called Shava Dinar. But if you're talking about Pruta, since there was no Pruta in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, so it doesn't really exist as a Matbeah, so it should only be Shava Pruta. And he says, in Achanami, Agav Gerara, really, we want to say Dinar v'Shava Dinar, right? I use that to say, instead of just seeing that as a technical point, which he does, that might also be part of our build-up that, right, Dinar and Pruta, we don't say Midda Dinar de Beis Shammai, Pruta de Beis Hillel, or Midda Pruta de Beis Hillel, Dinar de Beis Shammai, in both directions, right? Pruta seems to be more fundamental because it's the Rubicon of Mammon, and Dinar seems to be more fundamental because that was the minimum, or that was the the coinage at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So each one has another reason why we would see it as some more formal category of Madbeya, of Kesef, as opposed to Shava Kesef. Right? But the Avnei Miluim is asking, he's quoting that Ritva. That's the Ritva that he's quoting. He's saying, what the Ritva is pointing out is that for Beis Shammai, there's something called a Madbeya called the Dinar. But for Beis Hillel, Pruta, right, is just really Shava Kesef. So all there is Shava Kesef. There's no Pruta. So he assumes that Ritva will say, and then he later on suggests that Rashi holds that way as well. I'll read it inside for a minute just to show you I'm not making this up. That what? That the real Hagdara of Pruta is not Chatzis, or it's a big Chiddush, because I don't think it's true in the Ritva. The Rashi doesn't weigh in one way or another. But he's assuming that Chatzis or a Kesef will not apply for a Ritva, will not apply to Rashi, because they really think that the definition of Pruta, as opposed to Dinar, this would be, again, an important nafkamina. He doesn't bring it out. Dinar means the Dinar of Moshe Rabbeinu. But for the Ritva, the Pruta of Beis Hillel, right, is the buying power of whatever that was, maybe Chatzis Sa'ora, at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know, again, I'm not how you measure that and how you know what I don't know that. It doesn't really matter. For our purposes, it doesn't matter. But the concept is clear. It's the buying power. What do you do with the Rif and the Rambam? So he says, yeah, the Rif and the Rambam apparently hold that it's not the buying power, it's the metal content. And that's what they mean. And here's where he calls it, just to get back to our discussion a few minutes ago, He says, dinar you can talk about, this is Amnon Miloid, dinar you can talk about is kesef. Pruta, if you think there's some intrinsic status to pruta as opposed to shava pruta or shava kesef, it's based on the metal content. So dinar is a madbeya of Moshe Rabbeinu for Beis Shammai. He just doesn't bring out, oh, so therefore there should be all sorts of nafkamina. Pruta is for the Rif and the Rambam, this is his analysis. For the Rif and the Rambam, pruta is the metal content, and pruta for the Ritva and Rashi is the buying power. Okay, just I'll give you. I'll just do 1 minute of reading on this. The Avnei Nezer, in my opinion, has a whole different perspective in which he says that even though there was no coin in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's still a value to coinage, even for Beis Hillel, according to all Rishonim. Here, just very quickly. Second. Here. There's two pieces. Midivrei Rifa Rambam, the Perush Mishnayos, near the Mishkal Chatzi Seora Kesef, is Pruta Likidushin. Mashma Bein Huzal Kesef Bein Hukar. I'm jumping around. Right? The Kol Kesef Pachas Michatzi Seora Filu Shava Tuva Midvar Macherim. Doesn't matter what the silver is worth in society. Ein Kan Shior Kesef Shed Sri Chua Torah Likidushin. It's fixed based on the metal value, irrespective of the buying power. Doesn't matter if you can get a snack, if you can get a fruit, if you can get a date, if you can get anything. The Ikalamedak, the Kesef Amr Batorah, Hainu Kesef Ayotze Behotzah. There's this question. Moshe Rabbeinu's Kesef, or the Torah's Kesef, Kemosha Kosef Arajba, Dafir Aleph, the Kimin, the Pruta Bimeosh Moshe Lohaya, the Kesef Ayotze Lohaya Elam Ma'a Odinar, if we're talking about the conventional, right, conventionally used coinage, currency, in other words, stamped currency, this is his distinction, ela mamon. Right? Upruta chashiv mamon. Vim eno ela mamon, imken minalach shir kiddusha kesef bimishkal kesef chatzi seora. What he's calling kesef is madbeya, right? What he's calling mamon is buying, but is a coin, but assessed by its buying power. And shava kesef is that value of the buying power without the coin, without the currency part. The haritva b'chidushav, then he quotes the ritva, the bedin de lo hava le beis hillel misni pruta dabekroksiv kesef, svir le beis hillel de lav kesef mamish ala mamon, dainu shava pruta, v'kimin de kain, pruta atzma, shehi shal nechoshes, hainu shava pruta atzma. Right, the buying power, mamon. Ava perakazav, the tani chamesh pruta osein, lo ketani ala b'shava pruta, mashma de kesef de kraina mateches kesef, ala shem mamon. Not kesef, not mateches, Shei mamon. V'chol midi d'chashuv hainu mamon. I mean, it has a certain minimum chashivos. V'leka pruta klal alashava pruta imkein ein l'shayer klal b'mishkal chatzi seora. This is a huge, because of this analysis, he's rejecting chatzi seora for the ritva. El b'midi d'chashuv mamon v'impachas michatzi seora shava tuva midvar macherim nami roi lios kedushin. He's thinking for Rashi and the ritva that it's, you know, the ability to get a minimum object, food, whatever that is. Umidivya Rifa Rambam, Mashma the Kesef the Krahab Matechas Kesef, not Mamon. Silver. The Illa Divya Ritva Ainyan Kesef Lashior and Lashior the Mamon. Akoshali Bidivya Ritva, the Svirale the Kesef the Krah is Mamon, Imken Kesef Yashiv the Bal of the Marbishava Kesef, the Khembab Divri. This is his question, and this highlights it. This is kind of what you're asking for too, but it depends on the category. He's basically saying, according to my read, well, he's not saying my read, He's saying, according to the Ritva and Rashi, I'm adding his read, which is that Shavaputa means, right, buying power, right, defined by inflation, whatever, proportionality in every society. If that's what Kesef is, so then why do you need a Gzaras HaKasef to teach a Shava Kesef? Right? Bishlomo, if it was the coin or the currency, like it is for Beis Shammai, right? Then, or it is for, or Bishlomo, if it was the silver content of the coin, right? Which it is, in his view, for the Rambam and the Rif. So there's a discrepancy between Shava Kesef, the buying power, or the value, right, and the metal content, or the currency, the coinage, the official coin of the realm. But according to the Ritva, right, that it's not Kesef, and it's not Mammon, I'm sorry, it's not Kesef, and it's not Mateches, it's really Mammon. So what's the difference between Mammon and Shava Kesef? If you ask me, there's still a difference. That's what the Avnei Nezer says. Avnei Nezer says about the Avnei Miluim. I saw they have it in the back of these Gemaras. They have some pieces of the Avnei Nezer. I have to pick it up. It's always very good if you have time to look through it. He says, I don't know what the problem is. So that's also coinage. That in the form or displaying buying power, proportional buying power in the form of a ubiquitously used, you know, accepted, efficient, you know, formal coinage, right? That's also coin. That's also kesef. But the Ritva, I'm sorry, the Avnei Miluim doesn't see it that way. So he likes the Ritva. His heart is with the Ritva and what he thinks is Rashi, but he thinks Shava Kesef is a problem. Now, of course, if that were the only problem, I totally understand the question. I just think you can answer it. I think that's what Avnei Nezer is answering. But I mean that there's still a value of there being a formalized coin to do that, to proportionally represent that. But we can totally understand the question. But we can also totally answer the question according to certain Rishonim. Namely, it depends why Shava Kesef is Kesef, and whether it's this conversion idea, right? Or it's more the idea that the real categories, what he's really asking is, the categories should be Shava Kesef, not Kesef. So you don't need conversion. Okay. L'chein nirla niyastayti b'divra rifa rambam v'atur d'shir kidushinu mishkal chatzisora kesef bein huzo bein hukar v'kesef dekra eno kesef ayotze for them v'mishum d'sfirla d'beisil d'kesef mishkal chatzisora hainu kesef chashu l'chein mevur barama v'bal korchot tzor klamer d'kesef dekra eno zuzi ela kesef mateches. That's what he thinks. And then he talks about the shach, whether he holds this way or not. Efshar degama rajva shekasav dekesef dekrahinu kesef ayotze lefi solka daitach b'shas dekesef amar b'toris kesef tzuri. I mean, dinar. I mean, this is a huge, he doesn't develop it, but this is a huge, if he's right, or l'shita so, this belongs on the dinar, but we already had it there, just that he's expanding it, right? On the dinar versus pruta list. Beis Shammai's kesef, Beis Hillel's kesef. But in this case, like for the Ritva, more kesef to Beis Shammai, opposite of some of the other things. Efshed lo avinami kesef ayotze le kesef mamish, mishur mishkal chatzis ora. Lefizat kesef tekrainu kesef mamish, ula olam bina mishkal chatzis ora, bein hukar ben huzal, ula divrei haritva, lo azlinim basa shiur de mishkal chatzis ora, ki kesef hakasef hainu mamon, imken pakos mishkal chatzis ora kol shehukar v'shaveh, right, shir mamon hainu pruta v'kidushin, v'chein nir meloshon rashi b'mishna, right? And then he says, look what I wrote in Sifkat and Gimel. Sifkat and Gimel is a replay of this. The Sma in Simen Peches, Sifkat and Beis, in Tchosha Mishpat, right, writes, Tzorch Iyun Lamaisa, Bizman Shalonu Shaperos Biyoker, right, Im Choshuv Mishkal Chati Sora Kesef, Shavaputa Lekadish Boisha. Exactly this question. That's a Sma's discussion, right? If a Chati Sora Kesef value doesn't get you much, or maybe the question would be also in the other direction, right? If it got you way more, would we adjust what constitutes the translation into Chatzisora Kesef? Well, if he matcha kasafti b'siv katan alef, the ikar kesef the kro hainu kesef matachas b'mishkalo, according to his view of the Rif and the Rambam. Right, v'shava kesef sovev holech ala mishkal chatzisora, im kein sulo azlinan basar yoker v'zol hatvua, elo sheyuchal liknos bo chatzisora kesef. Then he talks about beitza satarnigoles and agos hashri, mevur de beitza satarnigoles shavi yosur mipruta, u'mizem buchach delo azlinan basar yoker v'zula. Miu bahad, arminim per kama de kiddushin, ma kesef de kaitz, mash ma kesef de kra hu madbeya. Not silver content, but a coin. And a coin is intrinsic. Efter kivin de pruta shon de choshas bimei Moshe, adayin lohaya, ugmiru lul chachamim de pruta chashim mamon, hainu mishkal chatzisora, ulai hayalach al Moshe misinai, kamo kol ashirim. In the end, he kind of has a begrudging suggestion, kind of like that Amnenezer, that this would also be a coinage. Okay, so anyways, these are very interesting issues. Look at the Avnei Nezer, he has, again, a different take on it, but it's very much relevant to the categories. Kesef, mamon, mateches, silver content of the kesef, in other words, or physical content of the kesef's value, or you know, mamon buying power, shava kesef, and so on. Exactly the issues that we spent time on. So having said that, let us move now to back to Daf Hei Omid Aleph, spend a couple of minutes on Hei Omid Aleph, and talk about Shtar Admei. It's another example, another issue to talk about. Okay, who is reading on Hei Omid Aleph? Adam? Okay, so we already established that there's something called Shekein Ponimbo Agdesha Samaisa Sheni, and the beautiful Netziv, right? So, yeah, let's go through the Shaka Vitaria first, and then we'll go back to this line. Keep going. Enkatega Nasa Senegar. We'll just look at the Tosas in very quickly. Yeah, go ahead.
Shemar from Rava.
Where did you stop off?
By Rava.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rava Amar Kra Bekasav La Beksiva Misgareshes Veinam Misgareshes Bekesef Veima Beksiva Misgareshes Veinam Misgareshes Beksiva Haksiv Vyatzav Haisa Makish Vechule Umara Isa Mistabra Kai Begerish Me Mike Gerishin Kai Begerish Me Mike Kedushin.
Yeah.
The Apik Leila Haikra Del Drasha Achrina Sheinam Misgareshes Bekesef Minale, Amar Kra, Sefer Krisos, Sefer Korsav, and Davar Acher Korsa. Verabonon High Krisos, Mayavile, Miboile, the Davar Kores, Ben Olivenok, the Tanya, Hareze Gite, Hamanashal Tish, the Yain, Hamanashal Telchilabes Avicha, the Olam, Inze Krisos, Kosol Shimia, Hareze Krisos, Rebiosi Aglili, Mikaris Krisos Kanafkale, Verabonon Kores, Mikrisos, Lamashalu.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Chadam Echadalo Asya, Tesi Chadam Etarte. Hi Tesi, hey Tesi. Lolich the Rahman of Ishtar, Tesi Mehanach. Malahanach shekin hanas meruba, lo nechto v'achmana bebiya v'teisa mehanach. Malahanach shekin kinyanam meruba, lo nechto v'achmana bekesef v'teisa mehanach. Malahanach shekin yeshen bal karcha. V'chitayim v'kesef nami bal karcha be'amavriya v'ishes mi'elo ashkechan.
Right. So this whole thing about v'ishes mi'elo ashkechan, what's bal karcha, not? Okay, we've had this before, right? In the previous shaklavatarias, and we had about erusin, about chuppa, whether you're mechalik pasul between them. Ama ivriya, of course. Right, what about Balkorchak and all those Hanaka? I'm sorry, Yiyud. What about the relationship between those four cases? So again, you have to look very quickly. We'll do that before we leave, that this bottom Tosis, which we made reference to, but and the other Rishonim. I don't think we got to the other Rishonim. So before we discuss just a quick survey of some of the other Rishonim here, of the Bali Tosis here at least, which we'll do very quickly, let's get back to a final piece in the Kesef issue. Okay. So we have Shekein Bo Ma'ale Kesef Shekein Potem Bo'akdesha so Ma'isar Sheini Tomer Bishtar, right? We talked about that. Tomer Bishtar Shein Potem Bo'akdesha Ma'isar Sheini. So here you have a very interesting argument among the Rishonim. What do you mean that Shtar is not Pode Hekdeshos U'Ma'isar Sheini? What does that mean? Avrami, what does it mean? What's that? Malashtar she'ein podin bo hekdesha samaisa sheni. What does that mean? Well, that's what the translation of the words mean. What's the interesting discussion about it? Is there an interesting discussion about it? You didn't get to it yet?
No.
Chaim? Moshe?
If you write an IOU?
Correct. Let's say you write an IOU, you write an inashtar, you write, I hereby declare my commitment to pay you X amount of dollars, right? For this purpose. Who says that?
Rashi.
Read the Rashi quickly. First, the top Rashi, right? If you write to the Gizbor an IOU, right, it doesn't work because Vinasana Kesa Vakam. Okay. So the question is, any other conflicting Gemaras about that? It sounds like IOUs don't work. That's an interesting question, right? It's an interesting question, especially since we're trying to understand various levels of, you know, what constitutes kesef, mamon, right, shovi, you know, and so on. So committing to an IOU, right, is that considered to be mamon halachically or not? We already know enough to know that, you know, it's not necessarily hakol b'chadamachta, right, that the status of an IOU not necessarily going to be identical across all areas of halacha. If shava kesef isn't, and you know, shir shava pruta isn't, and hanah isn't, and so on and so on and so on and so on, right? Then maybe shtar admei, as we call it, isn't either. Either way, according to Rashi, that's what the Gemara here is saying, that an IOU does not work in the context of a gizbar, because of the pasuk v'nasan hakesef v'kamla. So is that the exception, or is that the rule? Moshe, what do you think? In Rashi?
It's the exception.
I mean, again, in the Gemara, it doesn't say shtar never works. Right? It says it doesn't work in hekdeshos.
It sounds like it's the exception.
Sounds like the exception, and that to make it's already very interesting because the nasana kesef v'kamlo might mean, according to Rashi, it sounds like IOUs could be candidate for money, but now when the Torah says v'nasana kesef, or maybe v'nasan, or v'kamlo, hard to know, probably v'nasan and a kesef, sounds like this is requires more. Well, that's not so shocking. I mean, again, we also had that maybe you need Exeris HaKasuv more in Hekdesh and Maaseh Sheni for Shava Kesef because the Torah is the language of Kesef. We remember fondly the Avnei Miluim's Ha'ara that in Batei Arichoma doesn't say Kesef at all. So there, everybody will agree Shava Kesef is maybe the major category, right? So, or the line of, you know, the Rishonim who say that, you know, double Kesef language, you know, in Eved Ivri for even the Kenyan part, never mind the Giron part, makes it more Kesef oriented. Okay, so the takeaway from Rashi is that per se, sounds like, that per se an IOU might be an effective means of Kesef, but Hekdesh v'nasana Kesef, the Kamlo, requires a more formal Kesef. Correct? Yeah.
My question on that, if it really is the exception,
yeah.
The Gemara in Tzayin, when it talks about using an IOU to be posed an Ami Bria,
that's my next question. Yeah.
It seems to say, obviously, it's not going to work because who would accept an IOU?
No, that's what the Gemara says there. I thought the Gemara says the other way. Read that Gemara in Tzayin Amud Aleph. On the contrary, that's why the Gemara uses the expression Shtar Admei. I thought the Gemara says that it's Kesef.
Whoa,
what's the context? The Mishnah says Bigiron Kesef, right? Amar Cheski, Amar Krav, Hefta, right? Meaning on Ama Ivriyo, you can buy out her contract, correct?
Yeah.
Tana.
Referring
to an Eved, Kesef for Shava Kesef, as we've seen. Ubishtar.
Go ahead. Shava Kesef, this is Kesef Miknado.
What is it? How does the star work? Yeah. Ella.
Ella
Shichur. It's a shtar shukr that we're talking. Then the Gemara says, and this is for people who were here last year, good chazara, right? Shtar lamali, lemale ba'pe trei zil. Want to say sayonara. Inami ba'pe beidina zil. Dos ameris, every day, gufa kone, v'rav shemachal geron, en geron emachal. What's the simple pshat of this Gemara? That if you want to get out of your gira'on, if you want as gira'on for Eved, a shtar admei works. And the Rishonim quote it this way. This Gemara seems that that's what we call it, shtar admei, IOU. It works in giron kesef. So it works in giron eved, and it doesn't work in vinasana kesef, the kamlo. Okay. Well, I mean, the giron kesef is quite interesting because, right, on the one hand, you could say, it's buying out a contract. You're unraveling, you know, the monetary obligation. So that should be through value. We also spent a goodly amount of time in our Shavakesef-Kekesef discussions saying, well, maybe Giron, which is Balkarchach, you know, maybe it's a Pidyon, there's a Kinyan Aguf, right, in Achanami, right, that's part of the whole, which is it? The Pidyon would seem to make it more formal, right? And the, you know, monetary, the fact that you're calculating it according to the years and so on, that you can, that you could put a dollar figure on it, right, is a way of thinking that even if it's whatever, it's working through the value. Okay. But Shtar Admei works. So you have two conflicting sources. It doesn't work in Hekdesh, according to Rashi. It doesn't work in Hekdesh. Well, according to everybody. It doesn't work in Hekdesh, an IOU. And an IOU, according to everybody, seems to work in Giron, Eved. Yeah.
I think what Moshe was talking about is on Yud Ches, Amud Aleph.
Yeah.
It says by the Umfad Nosa Balkarcho,
okay. Or, but that could be because of Kpeda. Right. So you have to weigh this Gemara against that Gemara. 100%. Either way, Rashi certainly seems to think that it is a candidate. And the Rajba disagrees, correct? What does the Rajba say?
The Rajba says that it's the shtar cannot be pulled a hektish if you use a shtar to be pulled a hektish.
No, and that's how he explains the Gemara.
Yeah.
I mean, he says that the... No, it doesn't mean shtar admei.
Right,
he says... It means a shtar, like you would write, the gizbo would write, you know, I'm releasing this thing from hektish. Correct?
Yeah.
Some of the tziv, among others, asks against the Rajba, like, we need a Gemara even to tell you that a gizbar doesn't have the ability just to release a hekdesh for nothing? Like, what's the compensation to hekdesh here? According to the Rajba, who does say that that's the pshat, right? What one thing that comes out of this Gemara, again, it's only a Havamina, but it's still interesting, is that the Gizbar emerges, and this is a big question in Gizbar and Hektish in general, right, as kind of a bilim in Hektish. And therefore, you need to tell me that if he writes a shtar, a declaration, a declarative shtar that says that, you know, this is no longer Hektish, that's not a fact. But the Rajba thinks that that's a better Havamina than thinking that a Shtar Admei would work. Why?
I don't recall. Maybe it was because it never works according to the Rajba.
Okay, but what's his proof that it doesn't work?
It doesn't work for Kiddushin.
He's assuming it doesn't work for Kiddushin. He says, "Hu adin that it won't work for kedushin." What's his proof that it doesn't work?
Pidgin aben.
Anybody have the language of the Rajba? Yeah. Alex, you have it. You're reading from where? From the Rajba?
Yeah.
But back up. He quotes Rashi.
All the way from the beginning?
I just go back quickly, just so people get the context. Stop for a second. First of all, is there any evidence anywhere that shtar atmei does not work in Kiddushin? I mean, the Rajba says it. Is it Gemara? The Gemara doesn't say that. Right?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. But
for sure not before David Ches. There's no Gemara that says that a shtar atmei does not work in Kiddushin. Many of the Achronim think that, according to Rashi, does shtar atmei work in Kiddushin? Very possibly. The Netziv is convinced that, according to Rashi, I'll get to the Netziv in a second, the Netziv is convinced that, according to Rashi, shtar atmei works in Kiddushin. Wow. Frankly, even if shtar didn't work in Kiddushin, I don't know that that is a proof. I mean, there's no evidence of it. And I don't know whether that dictates that it's not a good, against Rashi's Hava Mina here. I mean, there's no possibility that it would work. I mean, you still have the Gemara in Tezayin Amud Aleph, right? That Shtar Admei is Kesef, right? Moreover, so number one, I'm just pointing out, there's no Raya, he's just assuming it. Also, the description of, what is it? Manen Kan, Shtar Ein Kan? So it's doubly flawed, I think. Potentially doubly flawed. Number one, the way he sets up the case. Again, one more time, Alex, just that line. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say it the way I said it, because it depends a little bit how you read it. The way I read it, is there's a two-step process that took place here. It's not read in one breath. I could be wrong. Assuming that the way to read this is that he was Mekadesh and Isha with a mana, right? He said, I'm Mekadesh you, I want to be Mekadesh you with $100. Okay? And then, when it came time to act in stage, that's what he said. And then when it came time to deliver, that's the Amira, let's call it. And then when it came time to the Nesina, what did he do? Instead of giving her a sparkling, Hamilton bills, right? Or other coinage, currencies, whatever makes them intrinsic or less so keseps or ma'os or whatever. What does he do? He gives a shtar IOU, right? A shtar admei. If you ask me, in that case, even if Rashi, let's say Rashi, the Netziv thinks that according to Rashi, you can be Mekadesh with an IOU. With the Netziv's or would this reading of Rashi be true even in that case? I'm not so sure. Because even I might think that in that case you would say mana in kan, shtar in kan. Why? Because he split it up into two. He promised 100. He said he's giving 100. Then he didn't deliver cash. He delivered the IOU. Maybe that really is mana in kan, shtar in kan. But what would happen if he said, I want to be Mekadesh you with an IOU for $100? That might be different. I mean, it depends on how. I'm not sure what the Rajba. I'm just saying the Rajba, right? Read the line again one more time. Sorry to. Right. So the question is that all one sentence? Or is that two stages? If you ask me. Rashi might think it works even in two stages. The Rajba probably thinks it doesn't work even in one stage. Right? And in theory, you might be mechalik between them. Because if the way that I'm mechadesh the money is through, and if I give you a means of money, an IOU, as opposed to if I promise you money and then I want to convert it through an IOU, you may not say mana in kan, shtar in kan. That's point number one. Point number two, the whole din of money, there's no Gemara that says money in kan, shtar in kan. There is a Gemara that says what? Something we've already discussed and which we'll discuss in part two of the year. The Gemara Daf Chesam Aleph says if you're Mekadesh b'mana v'nasala mashkon, mana inkan, mashkon inkan. Where do we have it already, by the way? The same. Where did it come up already? Very prominently, and we discussed it a little bit. The Tosas Rid. Who said that? Eitan? Yeah. Trust your instincts. I trust your instincts. The Tosas Rid on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, and again, you know, on Vavim days, right? He talks about the case there, right? The guy is Mekadesh. He said, I'm going to give you $100, right? And then he does something with the Chalipin, right? Oh, I'm not going to be Chozer. Right? And the question is, what it may be, if Mane Enkan, Chalipin Enkan, or whatever, or Kli Enkan, whatever it is, remember? In general, is the Din of Mane Enkan, Mashkin Enkan a very specific issue or very related to the particular nature of a Mashkon? In which case, it's not so easy to export it to Tosas Ritz Chalipin, to the Rajba's money. When we do that sugya, we'll see that that's a discussion. And remind me then, if I don't remember, right, to remind everybody about this Rajba and that Tosas Rit. Okay. Either way, all I'm saying is not so pashut for both reasons that we say mana ein kan, shtar ein kan generally, or particularly, you know, in a case where you start with the IOU. The Netziv certainly understands that. According to Rashi, you could be Mekadesh Anisha with an IOU. The Rajba thinks you definitely can. But keep going. If there's no real evidence in the Gemara about Kiddushin, because there's no Gemara, there's only the extrapolation from Mashkonenkan. Keep going. So where does it come from? How do we know that IOU wasn't a candidate? Okay, that's part of that. Yeah, keep going. He said, not only that, I'm mistapek. He's going further, right? Let's say he actually gave over the money. Instead of just saying, Hareyat Mekudeshesli Bishtar Admeze, or Hareyat Mekudeshesli Bamana Vihine Shtar Adme, with a breath or without a breath, let's say he actually, forget about whether that's Mekadesh or not, and then he actually gave her money. Does that make a difference? He says, even then, because if he gave her money right away, great. Since now he's giving her money because of the Shtar, which didn't work, maybe that's a Pagam. Right, that's not directly. That's not the case of Kiddushin, right? In a way, that's kind of, that suffix is a little bit the parallel opposite of what I was saying a second ago, which is maybe it's worse. In a way, the Rajma himself is highlighting why, you know, structuring it in a way that has stages or that you need conversions is worse. He's saying, because if you had given the lady, the fiancé, right, if you had given her money right away, it would have been fine. The problem is that you muddied the water, right, by doing it in this way, and then the money isn't really the money. I'm saying the same thing about the way he structures the case originally. Don't say Rit Mekadesh b'mana and then say, oh, and here's the IOU for it. Say, I'm Mekadesh you with this IOU for $100. Unless that's what he meant. That would be different for the same reason that his suffix later is that it might be different. Keep going. Very interesting Rajma, right? Because Lika Sheyitain now echoes in his mind the sugya in Pidyon HaBen, which appears in two places, one in Ksuvis and one in Bechoros. Keep going. What does it say there? It sounds like the Gemara says explicitly that an IOU does not work in Pidyon. That's his raya, right? The IOU does not work in Pidyon HaBen. Keep going.
V'idmar Allah Amar Ula Dvar Torah B'no Padoi L'kshitain umatam amru ina padoi kidei shelo yomru podin bisharos.
Ooh, tricky Gemara. How does a Rajba read it?
Delma.
Rajba seems to be reading it that mina Torah, if you write an IOU for Pidgin Aben, mina Torah, b'no ne padoi. Likashayi, if you give it, or if you say likashayitain, that will work, mina Torah. Midrabanan, that doesn't work either, because people will confuse to the first case. So what the Gemara is really saying is that in Pidgin Aben, Shtar Adme doesn't work, and Midrabanan, because it doesn't work, even likashayitain doesn't work. Correct? Is that the only way to read the Gemara? That's certainly the way that the Rajba read it. That's the way the Balei Tosis read it. Both in Ksuvah Stav Kuf Beis and in Bechoros. We'll see in just a second. But you don't have to read the Gemara that way. The Gemara doesn't really say that. There's another way to read the Gemara. That is, that Min HaTorah Shtar Adme works. Right? And Midrabanan, Ula said it doesn't work because it's confused with Shtar. What does that mean, Shtar? Not so clear. So this is the Netziv's Ha'ara. The Netziv says that Rashi is L'shitaso. If you look at Rashi, Ksuva, is that, well, keep going to the Rashi, but just one second, I'll tell you Rashi one second.
The Alma, Afil Dvar Torah in Padoi Achshav Ela L'shite, V'achanami in Mekudeshes Adshite, V'ahi Shaita B'kesef Miskadeshes V'lo B'shtar.
Yeah, if it's really L'shite, then it's B'kesef.
Mishum achi nirali lefarish malashtar shekain ain bodin bo hekdeshos im kain bishtar hekdesh ze padoi eno padoi.
Yeah, I mean that the pshat is the Gizbar writes. So again, the Netziv and other Achronim say, well, the Rajba is give, like, what's a havamina? The Gizbar wrote, so the Gizbar wrote hekdesh got zero. Hekdesh, the Gemara thought that Gizbar has the right to declare, you know, on behalf of Hekdesh, that Hekdesh is Yotzei Bechdi, with nothing. So that's a very powerful habamina about Gizbar. But to summing up the Rajba, what the Rajba really says here is, quotes Rashi, right? He assumes that it doesn't work in Kiddushin. He may project it in a case where there's, you know, some conversion going on, some unnecessary conversion going on, maybe or maybe not. He's mistapek even when you actually fork over the money, whether it isn't tainted right by the first part of it. And then he brings a raya from Pidgin Aben. It doesn't work in Pidgin Aben, it doesn't work in Kiddusha. So the Netziv has a very interesting perspective. The Netziv says, basically, without saying it, but pretty much saying it, let's assume the Rajba is right, that the equation between Pidgin Aben and Kiddushin is correct. But maybe Rashi doesn't think that Minat Torah doesn't work in Pidgin Aben. Because if you look in Ksuvis, and Daf Kuf Beis, Samad Aleph, did I bring it? Which is where that sugya appears. There's a pretty interesting Gemara anyway there. Gemara says, so talking about actually Heinan Advarma Nikim Bamira Shiduchim, right, a skybus. Toshma, kosev lekoin sheni chayev lo chamesh sloim, chayev liten lo chamesh sloim. Ubino eno potoi. Interesting. Doesn't work. Shiny hasam, the Gemara says, the mishabed le midoraisa, hihachi amai kosev, kede levaro lo koin, hihachi bino amai no potoi. Gemara says, well, if he's singling out a certain specific, Gemara says, well, there's no big deal because he owes the pigeon of Ben money anyway. But on the other hand, he's singling out a single specific kohen. Tosas here talks about makire kuhuna, whether it matters. So the Gemara says, "Kede ula, damar ula, dvar Torah padui, likashiyite, mai tamar rabnoi, no padui, gzera, shem yomer podim bishtaros." So Rashi here says, shema yomar podim esabachar, Bishtari chov sheishlo alacher. Umasra lekoin bepidjonod, asalamemar mali haishtara, mali haishtara. Banan Tam, the second Becharos, ain't podin, love Avadam, love Bishtaros, love Bekakos. Gafino Hasan Mikrai, Perakesh Bechor the Nachala. So Netziv does a major service to everybody. Netziv says, if you look at Rashi and Ksuvis, right, Rashi and Ksuvis doesn't read the Gemara like the Rajba at all. He may have read the Gemara, number one, he didn't have the Girsa Likashi Yitain. And number two, the problem of Ula is that you're going to confuse it with a shtar shalacher. Right? Somebody owes me $100. I want to take that shtar that I, as a malva, own. I want to give that to the Kohen to let him collect from that pigeon a bed. I want to use my shtar that I have on someone else, my loan as a commodity for pigeon a bed. That doesn't work. That's a Gemara. That's called a pratu klat. That doesn't work. Karka doesn't work. Avadim doesn't work. Shtar is engufa mamo. Fine. But it sounds like if I just wrote an IOU, would that work? Well, Rashi doesn't say that exactly either. You might say, well, that for sure wouldn't work. What is that? But the way the Netziv says is, no, that would work. That's Rashi Lishitaso. And if you look in Bechoros, in the Sugya Daf Nun Aleph also, right, starts off with the Mishnah there. You know, we'll just give me another 10 minutes, we'll finish up. I just want to make a few quick comments on the Tosis and also, just very quickly. The Mishnah says, "Ein podim lo avonim lo sharis lo kakos lo gdeishos, kos of the coin shu chayv liten chamisha slaim, chayv liten lo b'no ane podim, lefika chamotz al coin liten lo vantana rasha in so." Then the Gemara has this shakla v'tarya. The Gemara has gufa mamon, and then the Gemara comes back to it, to this issue, exactly the same as the Gemara in Ksuvis, Ula. Okay, there's a Gemara here on Nun Aleph. Omad Beis. Kosov the coin shuchayiv lo chamesh slaim. Amar ula dvar tor b'no padui. Then there's brackets. There's a different girsos. Likashi yitain. Maitamein b'no padui. Xerisham yomru. Podim bishtar. So if you have the girsa of likashi yitain, which is the girsa of Bali Tosis on the Rajba, it means that's the only thing that works in the Torah. Likashi yitain. And midrabanan, that doesn't work either because people think that without likashi yitain, namely an IOU alone will work. But some people don't have the girsa. Rashi clearly didn't interpret that way in Ksuvis. Rashi in Ksuvis. Tosis in Ksuvis says explicitly against this. In Tomar Ula Leisid Rabbi Yochanan. I'm sorry. Yehoke b'no amayin in Padui. Lomar. Avalei l'neimar d'la have a Padui. L'kishu yavali ad koin. D'nei d'kodim shabali ado dino hu deino Padui. Right? Haleka alei ala shibud b'yama. So that it seems terrific hara is that Rashi maybe is Lashitaso. It works even in Pidgin Aben, the way he reads the way his Girsan, the way he reads it. Right? It works in Pidgin Aben. It works in Eved, Giron, according to the Gemara Tazayin at least. The only place it doesn't work is in Hekdesh because of Nasa Kesef Biyado, which of course looms larger then about Hekdesh Kesef being more formal. Right? An IOU isn't going to do it. But, according to Rashi, it'll work in Kiddushin, perhaps. It'll work in Pidgin Aben. Is it possible it works in Pidgin Aben and it doesn't work in Kiddushin? In my opinion, the answer is yes. Either, again, you want to say shtar ein kan, mon ein kan, but maybe also it's lacking kesef shalana. Maybe it's lo mekan yanafsha. Maybe it's not, maybe technically, formally, you know, where all we need is kesef in the minimal sense, that's enough. But maybe it's not a kesef shal hekdesh, like the Netziv's other comment, a mekan yanafsha. You know, he's not putting these two things together at all. I'm putting them together. Maybe it doesn't work. Okay. The Marshal, Chochma Shlomo Al-Atar, on Hayomid Aleph, says, maybe there's another pshat, when the Gemara says, Shekain, you know, Eino, Shtar doesn't work in Hektish and Maisa Shein. Maybe that is a reference to Shtar Dacherim. What we're talking about before, right? Reuven owes me money. I'm Shimon. I want to use that shtar to be poda bini or to be mekadesh anisha. Maybe that's a pshat in the Gemara. Okay, the problem with that is that isn't that already covered by, well, in gufa mamon in pidgin aben it's covered, right? Is it covered in hekdesh and in maaser sheni, and what about kiddusha? Again, we'll talk more about the status of other loan that you hold over other people. What is better, the loan that you hold over other people or initiating a loan to this person? In other words, shtar admei or shtar shalacherin, of a milva shalacherin? It's not so clear. Right? On the one hand, the other is already a commodity. You could get something for it on the, you know, this is something that you're initiating as a hischaibus. On the other hand, this is a, you know, it's not an old loan that you haven't been able to collect. It's the initiation of a chiyuv. Somebody's calling, just to make sure it isn't. 1 second. Okay. So, very hard to know. Anyways, the some of the achronim try to be mechalik between pidgin aben and other dinim. And they have two or three ways of suggesting it. Number one, this is Marit al Ghazi. I see the newer Rajbas, they have some of these Makoros too. Quotes of Marit al Ghazi in Makoros. Marit al Ghazi says, well, maybe Pidgin Aben, where there's a Hafka of Shtar, maybe that's unique. But we don't have a Hafka of Shtar in Kiddushin. Mishim Gufa Mamon. The issue with that is exactly the question I just raised a second ago. What's better and worse, and that's part of the Marshal question also, Shlomo, here, is shtar al acherim, which is what the Gemara is referring to in the miut of shtar shein gufo mamon, is that better or worse, right, than shtar admei? So we assume that there's no shtar admei in pidgin aben because there's no shtar al acherim. That's an interesting question. That's what the Marit al Ghazi is assuming. The Ksos also in Simen Kuf Tzadi, Siv Katan Vav, discusses this question. As for Kiddushin, again, could go either way. But the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Tzadi Beis has a very famous other suggestion, and it really is Noveya from the language of the Gemara in Ksuvas. And that is as follows. Maybe what's unique about Pidgin Aben is not that you need Gufa Mamon and you can't have a shtar, any kind of shtar, if assuming you don't mechalek between these two cases. Maybe what really it is that you have a fundamentally different situation here because there's already a chayvus. The Torah demands that a father, right, be poda his child through Pidgin Aben. So, again, if I come to somebody and I want to acquire their sadeh, or I want to be Makadish and Isha, right? So perhaps initiating a ischaibus, writing an IOU, is a form of kesef. Because you can collect on it. And even though I'm not giving it over to you now, maybe that's a commodity enough that's called money. It's a collectible way, right, of obligating to money. It isn't money, it isn't convertible money, right? It's not shava kesef, but it's the means to collect. That's what shtar admei is. Assuming you can get past the money inkan, you know, shtar inkan, it isn't too indirect. But in pidgin aben, right, the chidusha is chaybus, and some level is zero. Because it's already told you of a chiyu pidgin aben. So here the question, and in a way, that's kind of what the Gemara says in Ksuvas, on Kuvbeis, where the Gemara says, Gemara originally says, Pas of the Kohen Sheni Chayv La Chamesh Slaim, Chayv Liten Chamesh Slaim, Ubnoin Apadui, right? The Gemara says, how come? Shaini Hasam, the Mishubad Lay Midaraisa. What does that mean? So it's an interesting question, and the Achronim discuss this. On the one hand, Torah already told them to pay five shloim, but they didn't tell them to pay five shloim for this particular kohen. Is that considered a hischadshus, a hischaibus, right? Since now he owes this kohen. It's some sort of a chalos, but is that enough? Or maybe the question should be, I don't know if others put it this way, right? Does hischadshus, a hischaibus, and an IOU depend on the makabel? In which case, this kohen has it. Or does it depend on the nosei? Maybe the hagdara is that it depends on the nosei. Because that's the whole point. He's the miskayev. Is it about the recipient who couldn't get it before but now has access? Or is it about the miskayev? He has to pay five shloim to some kohen. Why is that a chalos hischaibus? Oh, because of Tovas Hanav of Makirei Kahuna. That's not five shloim. When it comes to Kiddushin, right, there would have been another question, again, the Nosei Nemekabel dialectic. Okay. In any case, that's an interesting, given the Minchas Chinuch Sa'ara, that's an interesting question. There's another, perhaps, avenue, and that's the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi has a tshuva in which he suggests that maybe there's another issue here, and that is, when you write an IOU for five shloim, that's similar to Minchas Chinuch, but it's a twist. When you write an IOU for five shloim, so is the IOU worth five shloim? It's probably worth three shloim. You have to collect it. And for Pidgin HaBen, you have to pay five shloim. But what if you wrote an IOU for seven shloim? Maybe that would work in Pidgin HaBen. It's only five shloim that doesn't work in Pidgin HaBen. Either way, when it comes to applying this to Kiddushin, is it going to be better or worse? That very much depends on many of the issues that we discussed. So let me spend just five more minutes talking about these three tosasin, and then we'll stop and we'll leave the, you know, a few other things for the day that we come back. But again, mostly we're starting Hayom at base when we come back. Nelson Huvamri, he'll be the first formal sugya, but I'll just take a few quick ha'aros on some of the things we weren't able to do. So just a couple of ha'aros on the tosasin. Shekein potimu akdeshos ha'maiser sheni. There's a very interesting Tosa says in Tamar calls it also the Kavachomer. Ma kesef alpha bisha podim behekdesh meiser enum motzi afil hochi machnis starsh alpha bisha enum podim behekdesh motzi enum din shiachnis. Tosa says a very fascinating thing here. It shomer the chumra ksuva the pasuk ein lahachnis be Kavachomer, the vadai chumra shal svara nitna lahasim be Kavachomer. Aval ksuva yeshlan lomar shihia goremes mala. So again, we spend a lot of time talking about the Rambam, and in general, you know, the significance of things that are Mefurish Bakra. And again, not per se Mefurish Bakra, but especially when there's a hierarchy of things that are Mefurish Bakra, learned from a drasha, learned from this kind of drasha, learned from that kind of drasha, and so on. So this is just a very interesting comment of Tosas, meaning, when is a factor just part of the Kal and Chomor and a reflection? And when is a factor a goreim, a mechayev? Tosas here is suggesting that factors that are mefurash bakra, right, have a different stature and a different status in the nafkaminas. You can't throw them on the other side of the kal v'chomer and say, and even more, right? Because maybe it's the goreim, it's the mechayev, not just part of the kal and chomer profile. I just think that that's very interesting. Then the continuation of Tosas. Tosis weighs in on the question of karka. Bim tomer neba kavachomer mikarkos shen matzis afil ochem machnisos dadim yochel lekadish yishu bekarka v'inim itzgareshes bekarka basum leikin lemifrach shekein podim ekdeshos eshlomer dikin lemifrach malakarka shekein konin metaltin agavon. But basically Tosis here takes a stand that you can be mekadesh bekarka, although he doesn't say anything about shtar. As we know, there are three shitos, right? The itur Udime, that you couldn't be Mekadesh even Bekesef, Bekarka, right? Those who are Mechalik between Shtar and Kesef, and those who think even Shtar, there's not Vyotzev Hoys on this particular case. In any case, that's one Tosas. The second Tosas, just to note very quickly, Tosas says, Ma Havaya Bekesef Af Yitzia Bekesef, Ulinyam Bia Lekele Meimar, Ma Havaya Bebia Af Yitzia Asa Bebia, Shal Yisrachek Menu Megarsha, very reasonable view. You can't have bia as a motzi. But then Tosa says va'od mishum shemata ba'ervas daver ragil legarsha v'azyesh lifrosh. Just to register that's very tamua. We've talked a lot about, you know, both in Kal v'chomers and about kind of de-particularizing, the factors. This is a very extreme example of it, right? Meaning it sounds like they're considering the possibility that if not for Mata Bayerva's Davar, this might have worked. That's a very deep personalization of Maisa Bia. And, thirdly, Tosa Dermaskol Al Menashe Lotelchen Beis Avich, Tosa says that the Hagdara of Beis Avich includes Kol Yotze Chalotze Avia, and he brings a raya from this week's Parsha from Tamar, that's Parsha Sashavua, I guess. So this is a very fascinating thing, because the whole Parsha of Tamar really is about the expansion of the concept of family. It's really about, again, comes in the background of the Parsha, where you have, of course, Yosef and his brothers, and in particular, Yehuda and the idea of Achicha, right? What it means to have brotherhood. So I always wanted to suggest, going back to the Yavama's days, that the tikkun of Yehuda, Vayetze, right, Me'achav, is, because he understood his brotherly obligation to Yosef more than the others. That's what the Pasuk keeps talking about. He's the one who identifies him as a brother and wants to save him, and yet doesn't go all the way with it. In a sense, because of that recognition, which is praiseworthy, his inability to fully follow through is more damaging. And consequently, the way that he neutralizes all that is in the Parsha of Yibum, which is Kieshvu Achim Yachdav, like the notion of expanded family in the story of Tamar. So it's fascinating that is the makor, which teaches you that Beisav includes Kol Yotze Chalatzeim, which is an interesting issue. And then finally, the last Tosach, Kenyeshon of Bakarcha, just to reiterate what we saw, but we have to expand a little bit on more, is Tosas's question, how can you say that there is Balkarcha in Amma and not Balkarcha in Isha? What about Kiddushe Kitana? Right? So there are two answers that Tosas gives. The first is Yeshomer Dachi Parch Kesef Isa Ba'ama Kagon Sha'adam Miyai Desa Ivriya Bekesef Miknasa Balkarcha Shal Av Balkarcha Shal Bas. Right? And that Asher Lo Ya'ada Lo Shetzorach Leiris Birtzona El Shetzorach Lahodia Shal Hashem Kiddushe Miyada. Right? So the first answer of Tosas is that Inochanami, whenever a father acts on behalf of his daughter in any capacity, that's never considered Balkarcha, not in Nechiras Ama, not in Kiddushin, not in Chuppah, right? But Shiny Yud, that's not considered to be an Ishus of the father, that's considered an Ishus Balkarcha, and that's what the Gemara is referring to here. A, the assumption is you don't need her das, you only lahodia, not her ratzon. And the afagav the gomel kamam be ishus milosh kachno b'kai gav l'shem yoyin have ishus mikamokam betchila laba kesef bishvil ishus. So what does Tosas mean by that? Is he saying that yud is a non-ishus context, even though it creates chalos ishus, right? But it isn't a maisa kiddushin, like we mentioned in the Rambam in Uchas Melachim, Rabbi Pilagesh. Or is he saying it really is a chalos ishus, just that he's more narrowing it, but the kesef kiddushin, right, is more agav. So there, we need to test this. What is the status of yud? Does it depend on most rishonos lekiddushin nitnu? This Tosas is part of that discussion. Second answer of Tosas, yesh miyashvim, devadai zekari balkorcha mechira shalama ibriya shechovula, vimoysa bazdas lohoysa misratzis, but Kiddushe Katana, which is Lav Chov, that's considered Imhoisa Bastas Hoisa Mitzratis for Lachoshev Al Karcha. Meaning, the first day in Tosis assumes that whenever the father works on behalf of the daughter, it's equal. There are no differences. Not in Mechiras Ama, not in Kiddushin, in the discussion of some Rishonim, not in Nisuin, etc. Second one is saying, now again, is it just technically and limited to Amma? And is it only Amma because, you know, she probably would have said no and it's Kovula? Or is it this, that that's an economic power that he has over her, whereas in Kiddushin, right, it's his, you know, global representation. He's like the best, even though in Shlichus Lakatan, but this is an intrinsic relationship. It's kind of like a Shlichus in this particular case. In which case, what will you say about the relationship between Erusin and Nisuin? So that's something we've talked about already, that you might be Mechalek, and there are different Lashonos and the Rishonim saying these Chilukim, both about Yiyud and the difference between Mechira and Erusin, and also about the relationship between Erusin and Nisuin, whether it's a given that that is the same or not. Possibility that there's a Chalos, Ishus, Ktana, which partially is the father's, is something to consider very seriously. If you look in, again, going back to the beginning of the year, in Paragimel Hukos Nara Basula, when the Rambam has his line about, you know, maybe you would have thought that a man can be Mechalel, his daughter's honor, you know, he can kind of, sell her services in a way, Chalila, because after all, he receives the onus and he receives the pitui. Right, but Kamash Milan, right, the Chalot Chalelis Bital Hazno Sa, and that's Kadesha. That whole discussion of the Rambam is exactly, you know, where does his Bailus, you know, regarding Onus and Pitui, how do we understand that? Is it a bank account that he gets the money? Or is he really kind of, you know, her, it, you know, it's his shame, he's the Mechayev? And where does that end? Similarly, in Paragimel Chasnar Basula, which I told you to look at, but I didn't get a chance to talk about, because Halacha Yud Gimel, there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid regarding a case of Motiv Miktsas on Onus and Pitui. Is she the Baldavar? And the Motiv Miktsas is measured by her? That's the view of the Rambam. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? The father gets the money. He's the Motiv Miktsas. And is the Ravid's Ha'ara that whoever gets the Kiyam HaTashlumin is the Toein and Motiv B'Miktsas? Or does he agree that maybe the Mechayiv is what's Kovea Motiv B'Miktsas, but the Mechayiv is defined, in this case, by who gets the money? In other words, a double argument, right? What's Kovea Motiv B'Miktsas, the one who's Mekabel the Tashlumim, the Maisa, or the Mechayiv? And who's the Mechayiv in Onus and Pitui? So in light of this, going back, again, to the Sugya and Gimel Amud Beis and Dalet Amud Beis, and asking the question, right? What about Afaris Nadarim? And what about Maisi Adayim? And what about Mechiras Ha'av? And what about Kiddushei Ketana? And what about Kiddushei Nara? Ah! And, you know, what about Nisuei Ketana? And what about Yiyud? In all these cases, the same question, right, structurally, namely the father has tremendous decision-making power over his daughter. And the question in all cases is that one, either he gets the money, but it's all hers, you know, he makes a decision for her, or there's some chalos, it's his, it's all about him. Or should we be mechalek between these different issues and cases, and to chart that, both in terms of the, again, the Afar Sadar, the Maisi Adayim, the, you know, the Mechira, the Kiddushin, the Chuppah, etc., and likewise, whether to be mechalek between Nara and Ketana, Gufa, on those issues. That I want to speak a little more, and Bnei Banim Kabanim, those are two things that we need to just fill in a little bit more in the original Shaka Vatari Gimel Amud Beis Da'on Amud Beis, but that brings us pretty much to Hey Amud Beis, to the bottom, to Nasan Huva Amrahi, for the topics that we did. So wish you all Hatzalcha. We'll see you on Tuesday for the Tanakh.